Let me welcome you to this portfolio committee on DPME. Last week, Wednesday, we had our first meeting of the year with the DPSA family. Today is our second meeting, but the first meeting with the DPME family. Let me take this opportunity to welcome everyone for availing themselves for this portfolio committee on the virtual platform, and therefore wish everyone a successful year. Honorable members, as you are aware, last week, as this committee and the country, we suffered a major blow in the sudden passing of the Honorable Minister Jackson Mutembo. Therefore, honorable members, let me ask everyone just to observe the moment of silence in honor of the Honorable Minister Mutembo. Thank you, honorable members. The purpose of today's meeting is to receive presentations on the first and the second quarter performances for 2020-2021 financial year from the Department of Planning, Monitoring and Evaluation, Brand South Africa and Stats South Africa. In our last engagement concerning the sector, the committee took a decision to escalate historical budget shortfall to the Minister of Finance for his attention. The Secretariat has put the matter on the committee program for discussion by the members of the committee. However, this announcement does not stop members from engaging on the presentation by Stats SA. Without any further waste of time, let me allow the Honorable Deputy Minister to make her opening remarks about the DPME, Brands SA, and Stats SA. Thereafter, I will allow the presenters to take the committee through their presentations. Welcome, Honorable Deputy Minister Swaye.
Thank you, Chair. And let me greet members of the Portfolio Committee. And also let me greet colleagues from DPME, Brand SA and Stats SA. We are always happy to come and report to the portfolio committee to also update you in relation to what is it that we are doing. Chair, just on a highlight, in light of what you had said about the minister, as the presidency, this is our first meeting where we are coming to the portfolio committee in 2021 without Minister Jackson Mutembo. So it's actually a very important day for us. We also conducted a monitoring program of the Erythropolis yesterday in Ekurhuleni, which was a project which the president had launched, and then the Minister of Finance had also committed resources to it. Chair, it's actually a highlight for us, and we are happy to be here. Just a few things which we're going to talk about is that the reality is that we have to make amendments due to the pandemic. As you are aware, we continue going forward and back, level 3, level 4, and so on because of the pandemic. And hopefully, as a country, we'll eventually find a solution to that. And therefore, that has meant that we had to amend our APP, we had to amend our targets. DG Nkuna is going to lead DPME to be able to speak to us. Brand SA as well, chairperson and members of the portfolio committee, is going to be led by the chairperson of the board, Mr. Andy Tobias. She is also with the acting CEO, Ms. Thulisile Manzini. They will take us through how we've had to reprioritize our target budget cuts, but also most importantly, how do we market the South Africa as a gateway in Africa into the rest of the world amidst the pandemic. They will take us through that. And therefore, you will hear a lot of them talking about the APPs and how we've had to review them. We can safely say to you, Chair and members of the committee, that DPME, we have filled all our DDG posts, which were vacant, all of them, which is something very, very, it's actually a success. So in relation to the numbers, is that, you know, the vacancy rate has dropped from 10%, we're at 2% level, but at an executive level and a strategic level, all the posts are filled, and we're really happy about that because it will assist us to be able to do our work as an institution. We also have got a lot of females at the SMS level. They will talk to that. Therefore, that means that we have been able to meet our target. We are busy reviewing the MTSF chair and colleagues of the portfolio committee so that we can be able to respond to the pandemic. What does that mean? That also means that even our target of the NDP, if you remember the NDP, we are left with 9 years or so, 9 years actually, before 2030. Or is it 9 years or 8, somewhere along those lines. And therefore, we've had to review so that we can be able to re-channel the resources to save lives and save livelihoods. StatsSA is continuing to do a lot of work, and the SG will take you through. They have been able as well to be able to work online from home to continue to do their work. You'd remember that if SSA is not afloat and we don't know numbers, we will not be able to plan. Actually, our planning in the presidency through the National Planning Commission is highly informed by the numbers you get from SSA so that we can know who is a South African, where are they placed, what is it that they need as a program. And I'm going to request that they start to communicate with you. Just the last one, Chair, is that in Brand SA, so MGDA, okay, which we're not talking about today, let's talk about Brand SA. Brand SA, we've got two vacancies. The former deputy chairperson who was deputizing Ms. Tani Tobias, who's here with us today, had to leave us because he's with a Chapter 9 institution, he's with ICASA, and Mr. Rothschild also left us. Towards the end of the year last year, there was a call for nomination to fill those two vacancies. We want to apologize that we did not speedily process the appointments, and we're going to ensure that we fill those two vacant posts. So currently, I think we've got about 12 board members who are short with the two. We will push to ensure that we replace the two vacancies which are there so that the board can be fully functional and coherent. I also want to apologize on behalf of the acting minister, Minister Khumbuzo Ntshavheni. She could not join us because she's committed, and remember, she's acting with us, but she's with small business, so she's committed there to do some other work, and therefore she could not come. We really apologize for that. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, DM. I forgot to ask Maskole to acknowledge if there are any apologies from members for today. Maskole, can you indicate if we have received any apologies?
Thank you, Sebastian. Good morning, honorable members and the minister and the colleagues. We only have one apology from Honorable Kibi, won't be able to attend the meeting today with us. That's the only apology that I have. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Maskole.
Until I come in, we apologize. We have a formal apology of the minister. I'm going to request that the advisors, Mr. Lumko and Ms. Gwendra Mukhopa, if you can officially send them that apology, mostly, let's send them the apology because there is a written apology from the minister. Thank you.
Thank you, DM. I think we have no problem with all those apologies. Who is taking us through DM, the presentation?
Thanks, Chairperson. It's me, Robert Nguna, on behalf of the DPME.
Thank you.
We are here with our team. And let me start by greeting you, Chairperson, members of the committee, the Deputy Minister, colleagues from the other sister entities that will also be presenting to today. What I will do, Chairperson, with your permission, I'll just give you an overview of the state of things in the department and then allow the DDG Corporate Services to go into the specific issues. Chair, as indicated, we focus on stabilizing the organization, DPME. To an extent that today we have a vacancy rate of 2%. Allow me, Chairperson, to introduce three new people who have joined us in the SMS. One is Dr. Nziki Mashia, who is going with our DDG for Corporate Services. Two, Dr. Annette Crissel, our DDG for Planning. Three, Ms. Marlize Wogendoren, who is our Chief Financial Officer. So our previous Chief Financial Officer joined COCTA or DCOG, and we've since filled that vacancy. Now, as the DM indicated, that means that out of 5 DDGs, 3 are women. And if you factor in the CFO, it means that overall the control of the organization is evenly spread between males and females. So we consider that as a significant progress of the department. Chair, an overview on some of the contemporary issues that may be of interest to members. One is with regard to the performance agreements of the ministers. Those have been finalized. They have been signed between the ministers and the president. And we have also published all of them, but one, on the website of www.gov.za. So they have been available for the media and other interested stakeholders to see what ministers are doing or what they've been asked to do by the president. So that is a significant achievement on our side. Then two, as indicated, is the review of the MTSF, which is running a full steam, and we intend to conclude it, the entire process in the next 2 weeks. This week, we are meeting with all the provinces to ensure that there is integration between the work of national government and the provinces. We are also engaging with DCOG so that we finalize the plan of translating the MTSF and the APPs into the district development model. So that is on track. Then last year also, we presented the biannual report, a program of action report, which focuses on the performance of all the sectors of society, both economic and social. This was presented to cabinet through the various cabinet committees. So that was done, and the report was accepted by the cabinet committees, and indeed eventually by cabinet itself. Chair, also we have been doing quite a lot of work in the COVID space. One is that we continuing to produce a book that will be published in the near future, recording everything that we've done as a country with regard to the management of the pandemic. So that is work in progress. And at some point we should be able to come to you so that we can share with honorable members. Then the other thing with respect to COVID is the vaccination program. We are involved in that program. We provide this entire secretariat of the for the IMC, which is chaired by the Deputy President of the country. So we are leading in that regard. And also we chair one of the key committees there that deals with research, monitoring, and evaluation. So that's the work that we are doing. And we also started some work, Chair, to monitor the actual impact of the interventions of government. Now, this we do by going out to communities, establish focus groups so that we can also get the voices of the people who can also know what people are saying with regard to the interventions of government, so that we don't only report to you what we have done as government, but also what the citizens are saying. So that is work in progress. Lastly, Chair, as we move forward as a DPME, one of the key issues that we will focus on is impact assessment, so that most of the time we go out there to check what citizens are saying about the work of government. Now, on that note, Chair, I will ask the DDG Corporate Services to go into the specific presentation of what you have asked us to present, that is quarter one and quarter two of the current financial year. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Good morning, Chairperson and honorable members. Good morning, DM and colleagues. The purpose of the presentation is to give update on the performance against the targets in first and second quarter as outlined in our APP. I will just talk to the mission of the DPME, which is to facilitate, influence, and support effective planning, monitoring, and evaluation of government programs aimed at improving service delivery outcomes and impacting society. Our main focus areas is planning, monitoring, and evaluation. And having said, I'll go straight to how we have performed. This slide shows both quarter one and quarter two. And because pictures speak more than words, I will come straight to this slide. Honorable members can see that in quarter one, we achieved 69%. And we actually improved in quarter two. And quarter two, we achieved 79% of our targets. This slide also shows which programs achieved 100% their targets and which programs did not achieve all the targets. I will give the reasons for non-achievement of targets when I go to the slides that explains that. Looking at program one, we can see that program one, out of 10 targets, they achieved 7, and they did not achieve 3. Program two achieved all their targets in the second quarter. All the targets were achieved. Program three, which is sector monitoring, also achieved all their targets. And program four, public sector monitoring, did not achieve all their targets. And program five, evaluation, achieved all their targets in program two. I was just showing this slide to show that there has since been improvement from quarter one to quarter two. And as we speak now, even though we are not reporting on quarter three, we have consolidated our work and started catching up, and we've actually been able to catch up on the work that was not achieved previously. Now I am going to program by program, starting with program at one. The purpose of this program is to provide strategic leadership, management, and support services to the department. Now this is the achievement in quarter one. This program had achieved 75% of the targets.
Okay. The presenter muted now.
I am still here. I've just shared the video. I was asked to share the video. Yes. So now looking at the performance for program one, I had already discussed this. Now, this program in the first quarter achieved 79% of their target, and then in quarter two, they achieved 70% of their target. These are the targets that have been achieved, and I will not delay the committee members talking to this, explaining this. I will talk to those targets that have not been achieved. Here is the slide that explains the variations in those targets that were not achieved by this program. The main issue was the annual report that was supposed to be submitted to Treasury that was not submitted on the due date, but ultimately the report was submitted because Treasury extended the deadline for submission. And then the second target that was not achieved 100% by this program is the ICT plan that was supposed to be achieved 85% in the second quarter, and this program achieved 81%. More work really in this program came from the request that came through because of COVID. There was more demand on the ICT space to increase infrastructure support as well as business process support to support managers as they are working from home, working remotely, and therefore that actually influenced the way that was supposed to be done to achieve all the targets that were planned for this quarter, for second quarter of ICT. So with that, a chairperson, you say that even though they lost 4% in terms of non-achievement, but actually they had to enhance the ability of the department to function better at the time of working remotely. Program two, which comprises of National Planning Secretariat and Planning Coordination, I'll go quickly to their performance. And they achieved 100% in quarter one, the Planning Secretariat, as well as in quarter two. So there is no explanation to be given in terms of the work that they plan to do, they achieved. Now, Planning Coordination, they are the ones that I would like to talk to. They had planned that they would have done certain things. In quarter one, they achieved 57%. In quarter two, they achieved 50% of their target. The reason for non-achievement of some of the targets was that some targets were removed from the APP during reprioritization. If we go to this slide, we will see that it was that reason for removing the one target, the other targets. The other issue was the guidelines for the implementation. Because of the revision of the MTSF, the guidelines had to be withheld a bit without being published. That actually affected their ability to achieve their targets. Also, in this NDSF implementation charter that was supposed to be achieved, the target also was removed due to reprioritization. Quickly to program three, this branch managed to catch up in quarter two and achieved all their targets. So there is no explanation for them. Then moving to program four, this branch in first quarter, they achieved 67%, and in the second quarter, they achieved 80% of their targets. And quickly going to the reasons why they did not achieve their target, the issue on HOD evaluation on first quarter that affected their abilities to achieve their target. In quarter two, their targets were removed from the ATPM. This program is a program that actually also depend on going out for their work, doing frontline services. Because of the lockdown, they had to cut some of their traveling, so they could not achieve their targets, all of them. Coming to evaluations in quarter one, evaluations and knowledge system, quarter one, they achieved fully their target, as well as quarter two, they achieved fully their targets 100%. I will not again be talking about those targets that are achieved. I will go quickly to the human resource management and show the members that we actually have improved so much in terms of reducing our vacancy rate, taking it from more than 10% right down to 2.8 in January 2021. DG spoke to the positions that have been filled and at the senior management level. We have been also doing that in other levels as well. And also this slide just shows the processes in the, from recruiting right down to the filling of posts. I will not waste time on that slide. This slide also shows the honorable members that we have outdone ourselves in the achievement of our employment equity targets. The variations that are red today is because we've gone over the targets that we have set for ourselves. In Africans, we had targeted 293 and we went over with 10%, 10.1%, that's 10% over. And as well as Indians, we went over the target, we are over the target with 2%. And this is levels 1 to 16. And in terms of males and females, you can see that we actually outdone ourselves with 8. We are over the target by 8.2, which means we have actually more females in the senior management level. And I think you just talk to that from level 1 to level 16. The budget and expenditure for quarter 1 and quarter 2, I will allow the CFO to talk to that, but I just wanted to summarize by saying that it's the honorable members. In conclusion, we have since made to do catch up in the work that was delayed in quarter 1. We did catch up in quarter 2, and catch up is actually going to show in quarter 3 that a lot has been done to make sure that we are in line with our targets. I would like to just say one program that we may not be able to achieve their targets for even quarter 3 is the public sector monitoring, which is a program that comprises of frontline service delivery monitoring for their targets, entails that they have to travel, they have to be out there, they have to meet with the public, and because of some restrictions at this time of lockdown, they are unable to do their work fully. And I also want to say that the savings that the CFO will talk to are actually already earmarked to improve our ICT infrastructure in the department, to ensure that our platforms are able to support our work, our systems are able to be interoperable, to assist working remotely and actually ensuring that the deliverables of the department are achieved. But more importantly, to ensure that the work of DPME is felt by our citizens that are actually affected by this pandemic. This is why we have to reprioritize and actually have to emphasize that we've put more resources on the areas in the department that are going to support even our visibility and support to our citizens out there. So in conclusion, Chairperson, I want to say that we have done what we plan to do, and we continue to be committed to ensure that we achieved that which was published in the APP, and we even want to go beyond that to be able to have services and our footprint felt by our citizens. Thank you very much. I hand over to the CFO to talk to the finance part of the report.
Good morning, Honourable Chairperson, Honourable Members, Deputy Minister, DG and colleagues. I would like to present the financial status as at end of second quarter. Our total I'm just putting on my video as well. Thank you, Chairperson. I hope I'm audible. I'm presenting the financial status as at the end of the second quarter. That is for the period 1 April 2020 to 30 September 2020. Our total E&E budget, estimates of national expenditure budget, for the year is 399.974 million rand. As at the end of September 2020, end of second quarter, we've spent 169.967 million rand, which represents a 42% spending in total. When we look at the allocation, the administration portion represents approximately 40% of the total spent, and these this allocation per program correlates with the targets as per the DDG corporate services presentation, and the allocation was done in accordance to that. The total spend represents 42% as at the end of the second quarter, which is an acceptable percentage given the circumstances and the non-achievement of certain indicators as alluded to previously. When we look at the spending per economic classification, if one look at compensation of the total allocation, of course, agrees to that per program, which represents 399.974 million rand. If one actually looks at the breakdown per economic classification, one would see that 297.397 million rand represents 74% of the total budget of 399.974 million rand. The goods and services, the 99.024 million rand, represents 25% of the total budget of 399.974. The other three items, the 312,000 rand, the 3.237 million rand, and the 4,000 rand represents a mere 1% of the total budget. When we then move on to the actual expenditure against those budget items as at the end of the second quarter, one can see that there is a small variance of 410,000 rand on 1% of the budget allocation. If one looks at the spending against compensation, which represents the 74% of the budget, 143.238 million rand was spent, which represents a 48% of the allocation spent at mid-year. This correlates very nicely with the vacancy rate as reported in the previous presentation conducted by the DDG Corporate Services, where it was mentioned that we're running on an approximate vacancy rate of approximately 2%. The only area where we are underspending in terms of payments that needs further explanation is goods and services, which represents the 25% of our total budget, whereas at mid-year we've only spent 24%, and the next slide would then highlight areas in relation to that 24%, which requires further explanation. Next slide, please. Thank you. The reason for the underspending in goods and services are mainly because of building leases. In this regard, we occupy a building in Grosvenor Avenue in Hatfield, and also in Johannes Ramaphosa Building. And we have not received the full invoices for the period. And due to the fact that we are on the modified cash basis, this underspending would be rectified as soon as we've clarified the discrepancies found in some of our lease agreements, as well as the invoicing thereof. With regards to consultants, there has been a delay in finalization in certain program areas, which also correlates with the underachievement of certain targets in respect of programs where travel was required during the time to complete evaluations, for example. Computer services, this is also due to the cash basis of accounting due to outstanding invoices from CETA, for example, etc. The last three on the list, travel, advertising, and training, are all COVID-related, as alluded to earlier during the presentation regarding performance information. We've had vigorous interaction with all the program responsibilities, the DG, and also EXCO is engaged vigorously on the underspending and linked it to targets. We've identified potential savings that are listed in Bullet 1, Program 1, Administration, 1.239 million rand. National Planning Commission, the 4.150. This is also linked back to certain targets being removed from the APP as alluded to earlier. Sector monitoring, 425,000 rand. And then Program 5, Evidence and Knowledge Systems, 910,000 rand. The total savings amounts to 6.7 million rand. And as agreed and discussed earlier, we have then identified areas where we need additional funding to actually upgrade our ICT infrastructure and software licenses to the value of 3.8 million rand. And then also the CV Mass project that requires an additional 2.9 million rand. Those two utilizations add up to the total savings of 6.7 million rand. Thank you, Chairperson.
Chair, that concludes our presentation.
The presentation is now open for discussion by members. Can I see who wants to discuss?
Chairperson, my apology, Chair. I can't figure out this thing of raising hand. Can I?
Okay, speak.
Yeah, thank you, Chair. Chair, as the portfolio committee, you welcome.
Mutsi, Petri, and Honorable Komani, in that order. You can speak, Honorable Ntuli.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chair, I would love firstly to welcome the presentation from the department and also the overview by the Deputy Minister. Chair, safe to say we are within the era that was really unpredicted for all of us. And it shows that through that thick and thin, but the department was trying its best. We also understand the disruptions of the pandemic, which is one of the new normals for us, for all of us, which says to the department, we are faced with this pandemic and we don't know as yet as to when are we going to get rid of it. Firstly, I would ask the department, what turnaround strategy that they've devised to face the new normal? Having observed that in some of the targets, they couldn't achieve them. Like, for instance, the guidelines, they had to rely on the extension. For me, they were now operating out of the line if there are no longer guidelines being followed. Having said that, I would love also to commend the department for the reduction of the vacancy rate and also the observation of the gender perspective. This CFO mentioned that one of the underspending was caused by that by the outstanding invoices. We can't take that as an excuse because somebody somewhere is sitting at a desk to see to it that all those invoices are collected in time. So, in other words, somebody failed the department. And on that note, it's totally unacceptable. Also, we understand, of course, the outreach traveling wouldn't be as normal. But again, that traveling were meant to achieve something. What strategy did they devise in terms of not traveling but doing the same work with the new normal? Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Honorable Musipe.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson. I would like to welcome the presentation. And then I've got questions here concerning the senior SMSs, the new vacancies that were filled. I've heard from the report that there are 5 vacancies which were filled. And then I would like to congratulate you to make the gender-based inclusive here. But I would like also to know if on those 5 vacancies, there is a disabled person in those 5 vacancies, is my question. And then the other question is, what is the impact of the removal of the target in the APP of the 2021 budget prioritization framework? Is this not a critical target for planning to ensure budget alignment and planning coherence across spheres of government? Number 3, with regard to new indicator in the APP on framework for monitoring COVID, what was the intended purpose of the framework or what does it seek to achieve? And the last one, concerning training on the quarterly performance reporting guidelines, how were this training conducted with the offices of the Premier? Thank you so much, Honorable Chairperson.
Thank you, Honorable Musipe. Honorable Malatsi.
Sorry, Chair. DM. I'm requesting that Honorable Musipe repeat the number four question. I didn't get it correctly. I'm sorry for that.
Okay.
Before the last one. One before last, yes.
One with regard to the indicator in the APP.
Yes. Framework indicator, yeah.
Right.
Yes.
With regard to a new indicator in the APP on framework for monitoring COVID, what was the intended purpose of the framework or what does it seek to for you to achieve? I don't know if I was audible enough.
You are audible.
You
thank
are,
you. Thank you.
I
thank
can you. Hear you from this far.
Yes. Mm. It's fine. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, DM. Honorable Malatsi.
Thanks very much, Chairperson, and greetings to all colleagues.
Lower your hand, Honorable Musipe. Okay. Right. Continue, Honorable Malatsi.
Thanks very much for that, Chair. I've got two questions. One is regarding the training that was provided for the quarterly performance reporting. If you look at the provinces there who were part of this training, it's the exception of the Eastern Cape And I wonder what the reasons were for the training not to have taken place for the quarterly performance reporting training that was conducted in the Eastern Cape, because in the presentation there was no reasons provided for that, nor in the document that we were provided for. And the second thing that caught my curiosity was with regards to the targets on the resolution of cases for reported on the presidential hotline. I mean, if you look at the second quarter there, it indicates that there was a shortfall, and this is attributed to the PLOs, which I presume are the presidential hotline liaison officers and other officials working from home. And it is my understanding that, you know, even though people were working from home, work was happening. And I would just like to be brought abreast in terms of what were the provisions that were put in place to ensure that infrastructure such as the presidential hotline continues to have a maximum resolution of issues that were reported on it, in terms of, one, you know, providing the technological infrastructure for the staff that is working at home, and B, for making sure that, you know, the skeleton staff that was, or whether they were using shifts, that the work still continues. Because I really don't think it is good enough to just generally attribute the failure to meet a very modest target of 60% to attribute it to people working at home. Thanks, Chair.
Okay. Honorable Kondwe.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Let me also start by thanking DPME for the presentation, and the Minister, the Deputy Minister rather, for the overview that she provided. I have three questions for DPME. The first one is around the important mandate or task that they have, which is to monitor and evaluate the implementation of the NDP by various government departments. Because I see them as custodians of the NDP, this very important blueprint for the development of our country. Now, I want to know whether they have been able to develop a monitoring tool to assist them in effectively monitoring and evaluating the implementation of the NDP by various government departments. My second question is around Program 2, National Planning Coordination. The presentation indicates that a research report on all research projects to review and support the implementation of the NDP was produced. And the presentation further indicates that there were two engagements held aimed at reporting on the implementation of the NDP, and three plenaries to inform the NPC were also held. I would like the DPME to share this report with us, because as the minister indicated in her opening, we've got 10 years left. It's 9 years, I think, into the adoption of the NDP, and we have yet to get a full picture of the extent to which implementation you know, is being carried out, how various government departments are faring when it comes to implementation of the NDP. And then Program 4, I was covered by Honorable Motsepe, although my question is precisely what exactly will you be monitoring with respect to COVID-19? And I do agree that this new indicator, as important as it is that you are able to develop, you know, must serve some kind of purpose. But I would also like an explanation as to exactly what purpose this framework serves, and what exactly you'll be monitoring around COVID-19. I note that at the beginning, there was mention of the fact that you're trying to monitor the impact of interventions by government around the pandemic. So I wanted to know whether it's tied to that. And I also noted that you indicated that you're busy producing a book recording everything that is happening around the pandemic and our government's response to it. Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you. Honorable Komani.
Yeah, thank you very much, Chairperson. Let us then welcome the Deputy Minister and the colleagues from her department. And let us on this day send again our deepest condolences to the department which the late Minister Dickson Mutembi was serving on. And we would, on that note, Chair, recommend and advise the department to continue to work as much possible and corrupt-free as if the minister was still around. Because that is one of the ministers that we can witness to say he was corrupt-free and he has been working with diligence. So, City, Chairperson, thank you very much. And let on that note, again, Chairperson, welcome the presentation by the department. And let us first and foremost acknowledge and clap hands, if one may do that, to say thank you very much for appointing and acknowledging the females in the senior positions in our government for once, and in the very strategic positions. We thank you very much for that, Chairperson. And still on that, Chairperson, we also want to acknowledge and commend the department on being able to pay their service providers within the 10 days. That is very commendable. And we would also, Chairperson, request that they share the same strategies that they have been using in their department. Maybe they should share those with their sister department so that we can see the service providers being paid within the 10 days. But Chair, equally, one would not just go around without critiquing where it needs to be. Chair, we have highlighted the underspending by the department, which is highlighted to be due to the vacancies. Chairperson, I think it is high time that we maybe need to be informed as to whether those vacancies were at the senior positions or the junior positions, so that maybe we know. And equally, Chairperson, maybe if you can request the department to indicate, although we know it is very difficult, but maybe to set the time frame to say when do they anticipate those positions to be filled? Chair. And again, Chairperson, with regard to the finances, maybe we should be put to book to say how much did the department budget, and then how much of that budget, how much was used in terms of the PPE? I think that is a very crucial and a very honest question that needs to be answered so that we all brought to book to par. Lastly, Chair, maybe one would ask if the department had have any irregular or fruitless expenditures incurred during this first and second quarter. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Can the department respond?
Thank you, Chair. Before the department can respond, led by the DG, I've noted a few issues that you're talking about. If you'd remember, Honourable Member Malatsi, in relation to the presidential hotline, during the pandemic, what we decided to do is that, one, we launched the Kaoleza app. Two was that if you are calling the hotline about any other issue, we would redirect you. We prioritized taking questions about the pandemic. I'm feeling a cough, I've got a headache, my throat is not okay, and therefore we would advise you. We also did, as DPME, a walkabout. We went to the Department of Communications and Digital Technologies. We went to CETA, because remember, CETA is the one which is responsible for the background of hosting the presidential hotline, to check, one, what are the most important calls which they are receiving. And during level 5, from the 23rd of March in 2020 last year, the most important calls which we were receiving as a presidential hotline were in relation to the pandemic. And therefore, we decided to go and visit them to also just check what is it that we need to do. What they were also doing is that they were also working in shifts, like you indicated. Now, the shifts also were informed by the fact that you needed them to do social distancing and comply with the regulations of the pandemic. We were able to to visit them and do that. The DG, I'm going to request you and the team to respond to the Eastern Cape training issue. Now, in relation to the monitoring framework, remember that so when we do frontline monitoring, we do assessment, we also monitor the performance of DGs, we also actually even monitor performance of ministers. If you can check right now, if you go to the government website, we put all up, they're all up there, our performances and agreements and who's responsible for what. You need a framework which must literally guide you in relation to assess yourself as the Department of Monitoring, Planning and Evaluation. What is it that you are doing? Are you complying? So the framework in the main is to assist us to be able to do checks and balances of ourselves in relation to monitoring, to monitoring departments and DGs and how they are performing. Now, what is happening is that, for example, now, with the schools opening, somebody asked about the vaccine and the schools opening and the monitoring tool. The monitoring tool is a comprehensive tool which looks into all service delivery points of government. And therefore, it assists us to be able to monitor. You're speaking about the vaccine. There's a conversation now. If you looked in the morning, the Minister of Health was talking about the vaccine and where are we, what are we expecting as government so that we can save lives and livelihoods. In relation to the school opening and the project, we are also doing that. So from the background, which maybe we are not able to come here to the portfolio committee and report to you, we are able to then tell the minister, Minister Angie Motshekga, that look, this is where we think the spotlight are. This is where we think you need to improve. We might not necessarily be doing it in public, but that monitoring tool which you were asking about, two of you asked about it, we are able to do that through the monitoring tool. So it assists us to monitor ourselves. It's a mirror, it's a reflection mirror on ourselves. There are vacancies. DG, I'm requesting you to speak about it. But in relation to the MTSF and the NDP target, like I indicated at the opening, is that we had foreseen and planned as government that by 2030, we shall have reached this and that. The reality is that this invisible pandemic has arrived in our eyes, and we are not necessarily able to can live up to the NDP target. Hence, the MTSF, hence the APPs are reviewed. We are reviewing them because we need to do budget cuts so that we can send money back to Treasury so that the money can be redirected to respond to the COVID and the pandemic. And fellow colleagues, through you, Chair, you will admit with us that we've had to go to level 3 because our people were dying in their numbers. And as government, we really needed to do something in response to that. And therefore, that means that the targets that we had for the NDP are not realistic at this stage because of the pandemic. But we're literally trying. And hence, we're working on the MTSF to review it so that other important priorities, we can be able to reach them out. And I had one member saying to us, they're happy that women are in SMS. I'm a woman here. We're going to fight for women to lead, and we're really happy about that. Thank you, Chair. Let the DG and members answer the other questions. Thanks.
Thank you, Chairperson. We will be quick so that we can stick to the allocated time on our side and allow other entities also to present and be engaged. Just very quickly on the question asked by Honorable Dooley on the new normal. DPME is moving full steam to embrace the new normal because we are not a frontline service, so it's easy for us to make that a transition. Now, what we are doing now, we are moving from one of our buildings that we occupy in Marse, that is the JR building, to join GCIS in their offices. So part of the DPME will be with GCIS, and we envisage that by so doing, we are going to have an open plan that will allow people to only come to work as and when it is required. So a strategy is being developed around the new normal. I've also written to DG DPSA to ask questions about occupational implications of having people to working from home. Those guidelines have not been developed as yet by DPSA. So if someone gets injured working for the department but from their own home or house, how do you deal with that? So that's not clear. So as we develop our own strategy internally as DPME, we are also advising DPSA to come with universal guidelines that will apply to the whole of government. So that is something that DPSA has indicated they are looking at, and that will help us also to finalize our own strategy. But a lot of work is being done in that regard. Then in terms of the deferral of the guidelines related to the MTSF, the reason mentioned in the presentation was that because of the review of the MTSF, we had to then defer. We couldn't achieve that target, but it's something that we are doing. As he indicated, that we are also engaging with the provinces. Today, we are meeting with the three provinces after this engagement so that we start also to share with them what is coming up in those guidelines. So that there is work that is being done. We, on the invoices, the CFO will respond to the very specific issue. But what one can say now is that while the regulations say that we must pay within 30 days, at DPME, we pay within 10 days. That is what we have been doing consistently over the years, and we'll seek to maintain that. But then the CFO will speak on the specific issue. Now, DM has dealt with the issue of how we offset the fact that we did not travel. With still delivering the work that was supposed to be delivering. And I think she provided a mouthful in terms of the constraints that we're even faced with. But overall, what we have done, we have continued to seek information from stakeholders. What we do, we work with a cross-section of stakeholders across the board. So this time around, even in instances where we could not go to, let's say, where social grants are paid because of the lockdown and the implications for people that we send out there, we had to rely on the information that we get from stakeholders, not only government stakeholders, but also outside of government. You know, so that's what we try to do. And when you look at the POA that we presented to the cabinet committees, was not only focusing on the work of government or the information that we get from government, but also what we get from other stakeholders. Because when we report on the program of action, we report on the performance of the sectors, not just a government department. So that's how we compensated for the kind of challenge that we are faced with. Obviously, at all material time, we prefer to send our people to go and see for themselves and interact with stakeholders. Now, on the question raised by Honorable Mutsete, I will then ask the projection of the specific state of things in the presentation with regard to persons with living with disability. But now, as we move to the new normal, which eases having people having to come to work, we will then use whatever is outstanding in our space, as indicated that we still have a vacancy rate of 2.8. to see how we can attend to this, but I'll ask colleagues to speak to this. So there is commitment to ensure that we meet our employment equity targets. So there's no doubt about that. And the new normal will allow us to deal with this specific area. On the budget prioritization framework, that was eventually done. And what we did as soon as we developed the framework, we presented it at MTEC. We are a member of MTEC, which is the Technical Committee on Budget, together with Treasury, DCOG, and DPSA. Now, our input is very important in the budgeting process because we then use our tracking of the implementation of the priorities of the NDP to inform the discussion in the budgeting process. Now, to be frank about what actually transpired is that we are faced with serious scarcity in the whole of government. So it's a very big challenge to an extent that we did present the framework, and we believe that to an extent possible, and given the available resources, that was accepted by colleagues that we sit with in that budgeting process. The framework for COVID was dealt with by the DM. I will not speak on it. The training mechanisms with the Premier's office was eventually done, and I'll ask DDG Annette Griesel, is their first meeting after all, to speak on this on issues related to area of work. On the questions raised by Honorable Malatsi, also that will be addressed by DDG Annette Griesel. I'll ask DDG Blakely Fatula to deal with the presidential hotline. Then I move on to the questions by Honorable Gonde, and these ones I'm going to answer. Now, monitoring the NDP is very crucial for us, and there are various levels of monitoring. So the first level of monitoring is to ensure that when the APPs are submitted to us, we do an audit of the targets to ensure that the targets that the department seek to implement are in line with the MTSF and indeed the NDP. So that is the quality assurance. And what happens is that even DPME itself makes a submission to that process. So I submit my APP to DPME, and I have received in return a feedback that indicated that DPME needed to revise some of its targets so that they are properly aligned to and with the MTSF and the NDP. So all departments, including DPME, are audited before the APPs can come to Parliament. Of course, I need to concede that a lot of work needs to be done in that space, because if we don't get it right, the honorable members, when we receive the APPs and the APPs are presented to you with challenges, then we'll not be able to monitor and evaluate. Eventually, what we monitor and evaluate will mirror what went in. So as they say, and my apology for using this language, garbage in, garbage out. So that is what we do when we receive the APPs, including the APP of the DPME. Now, on quarterly basis, we receive feedback from a department through what we call the EQPRS, which is an electronic mechanism that allow them to give us information. Previously, honorable members said to us that you don't want us to print the EQPRS and bring it to you, because after all, departments can always give you information on their own. But we have decided to continue to have the EQPRS because it gives us the first bite. You know, that's when we get the first information that allows us then to move to the biannual report. So after getting what departments give us, we can do an analysis and identify areas where there are serious challenges, so that when we go now to the impact assessment, we can prioritize those areas that have challenges. So there's still value in us getting the quarterly reports in the way that we get from department. But we have agreed with yourselves that we will not print what departments give us and come here and say, this is the performance of departments. But at least it gives us an early warning system to identify areas that require emphasis. So that is what we do. Then still on Honorable Gondre, we also a department that meets on regular basis with the Auditor General so that we identify issues that require follow-up. I'll just quickly give an example of one of the areas that we've been focusing on. We learned from our engagement with the department that were affected by fraud during the distribution of the stimulus. What we then did, we then wanted to know what were the constraints that were faced by the department. We were then told that there were challenges in terms of accessing each other's database. So you have a situation whereby SASA has got no access to the UIF database and vice versa. So when that happens, you can end up with double dipping. What we then did as DPME, we approached the information regulator, which is the custodian of the circulation of data, sharing of data. And in our engagement with the information regulator, we then asked that government departments be allowed to share data so that government can function. And we asked for an exemption that the rules that currently persist do not apply to government departments, because government is one and we need to work as an integrated whole as government. The feedback we got was that they are working on regulations that will then determine who's going to be entitled to exemptions or not. So we have not been granted that exemption. So this continues to be a problem. But we hope that by the middle of this year, those regulations will be in place such that government will be given a leeway to can allow government departments to share information, some form of self-regulation. Now, as to what was being monitored by DPME, our priority was on monitoring the stimulus package. And as indicated in my opening, the focus is that we have shifted focus from just talking about the output. Now, the current report that is coming talks about the actual impact, and it reflects the voices of the people on the ground. So what we did, we sent colleagues to 5 districts to go and establish focus groups and engage with communities, ask certain questions, so that when we come back to report to you, we no longer report only in terms of what we have been done from the point of view of government departments, but we start to add the voices of the citizens. And some of the information will be gleaned from the presidential outline, which has completed the first report on its impact. I mentioned the book that we are working on, because we don't know how long COVID will persist. What we may need to do now is to have the book book published in series, so that we don't wait for the end of COVID, because we don't know when it's going to end. So we are engaging with the relevant team that is dealing with this internally. We're brought in on board academics and other interested parties, so that the book is not only what we want to hear as government, but we also have people outside of government giving us the way they see things. So it is a peer-reviewed kind of a book. So it will have to come in a form of a series, so that we publish up to the end of March, and then the other things that will follow later, then we'll deal with them then. Quickly, on Honorable Komane, I've dealt with the issue of payment within 30 days, which in our case is 10 days. And then the CFO will deal with various specific issues. I think on the vacancies, we had, of course, challenges in terms of underspending initially. And the reason for that was due to the fact that we had submitted the post for particularly the DDG1, which should go to cabinet via DPSA, and there were some delays in that process. So that has since been sorted out, because we have appointed the people and they've all started work. So that means that has been dealt with. Then as to when to fill the remaining vacancies of 2.8, that is obviously in the pipeline. We are working on that, and you'll see some adverts being issued in the near future. Then the DDG Corporate Services will then deal with the PPEs, and the CFO will deal with regular expenditure. So, Chair, to avoid confusion, let me structure the responses by the DDG so that they are quick and focused. The DDG for planning will speak on the issues that relate to the area. That's what we have picked up. 2, the DDG Corporate Services will then follow and deal with issues in a space. And then we'll conclude with the CFO dealing with issues related to expenditure. Thank you.
Thank you.
DDG Planning.
Thank you very much. And good morning, Honourable Chair and Honourable Members. I'll just respond briefly to some of the issues raised. I think the budget prioritization framework, I've been asked to start my video, okay? Is that working? Okay. So, yes, all right, hi. The budget prioritization framework was a quarter one target. It wasn't achieved in quarter one, but it was achieved in quarter two, and DG has indicated that it was used to influence the budgeting process. In terms of the training on the quarterly performance reporting system guidelines, that was done in the quarter one, and then other provinces were trained in quarter two. But the colleagues working there are constantly working with national departments and provinces to ensure that they are able to effectively utilize the QPRS system. They also do analysis of the extent to which there is compliance. For example, Eastern Cape, there were one or two departments that did not submit on the QPRS, and that follow-up work is then undertaken. There was a question on the research report, which I believe is falls under the National Planning Commission. That was a request by Dr. Gondwe. So, you know, I won't be able to address that one. But, I mean, it's a simple request of making available the information. Just to say that the NPC has done a review of the NDP, and those documents are available in the public domain. And we have also looked at the NDP review documents as we are revising the medium-term strategic framework. The report on the integrated planning bill will certainly be provided in March, and we are currently re-updating the path to legislation, taking into account a number of considerations, and so that will certainly be shared with the portfolio committee. I think I'll leave it there. Thank you.
On the questions that were posed for GDG Corporate Services, I'll start with the one for the PPEs. Between December and January, we have spent 26,400, and it was mainly for fogging and masks and sanitizers. And then the other question was on disability. We are over the target there. We are at 2.1 on disability. And then the third question was on the posts that were filled. We filled 15 posts in the third quarter, and five was at SMS level, the 10 at other levels. Thank you, Chairperson. Thank you, DG.
CFO, to wrap up.
Thank you, DG. With regards to the question on outstanding invoices, the department pays very timely, but the requirement is that it should be a valid invoice that we consider and agree to the contractual agreement. The invoices that I refer to that's outstanding, we are performing vigorous follow-up and to make sure that they are aligned to the contractual agreement. The main issue here was, for example, CETA invoices that we received where there was a disagreement with regards to the contractual agreement. Therefore, it's not regarded as a valid invoice for payment. Those have since been followed up and paid during the months of January. With regards to the question raised on fruitless and wasteful expenditure and irregular expenditure, the department has extensive controls in this area. We also manage the recovery thereof in cases where it's recoverable in terms of the prescribed National Treasury instructions in that regard. We have a loss control unit, for example, that's situated within SCM that reviews each and every transaction. And then we also have a loss control committee that actually investigates each and every case and thereafter recommended for further action as need may be. We also, to just give further assurance regarding this matter. We had a comprehensive internal audit review of the SCM transaction during the period 1 April to December 2020, and no cases was reported during that period of review of internal audit that was mentioned and presented in the committee's or the audit report that was concluded now in January. Thank you, DG. I hope I responded to all the questions.
Chair, through you, there was a question on the expenditure for PPEs. I don't remember hearing that.
Yes, Chair. May I give you the total? The total spent across all units within the department. For the first quarter, we spent a total of 211,193 rand. As at the end of January, the total cumulative number is 348,425 rand, and that, as the DDG said, nearly represents sanitizers and cleansing of office buildings, etc.
Thank you. Must all be SG requested that you will join this at 11, isn't it?
That's correct, sir. And he just joined in, sir, as well.
Oh, he's in already?
Yes, sir.
Okay, we can therefore hand over to them.
Yes, it's Brand SA, sir.
It's Brand SA first.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Brand SA, come in.
Thank you, Chair. I don't know. Good morning. Can you hear me, Chair?
I can hear you. I don't know other members.
Good morning, honorable members. Good morning, Deputy Minister. Good morning, colleagues. Chair, thanks again for the opportunity to appear in front of the Portfolio Committee. It's always a pleasure to appear in front of the portfolio. Today, we are presenting to your good self the progress report for the first and second quarter of 2020 and 2021 financial year. And as you are all aware, that coronavirus pandemic and the subsequent needs to institutional restrictions on the movement of people and goods and services, this has curtailed the spread of the virus. And I should also declare upfront that I'm actually a survivor of COVID-19. That's my third week now. And the spread has had a very severe impact on the nation brands across the globe. And this pandemic will have lasting effects, particularly on economic growth, due to lower investments and the closure of businesses and job losses, to name but a few. Notwithstanding the disruption caused by COVID-19 and the impact it has on Brand South Africa, like many other entities, to implement its activities as it had in the past, the organization was quick to develop new ways of doing things. The period under review was filled with several highlights, including the launch of the Play Your Part visual series, which was developed by Brand South Africa in response to the current challenges associated with the COVID-19 pandemic. The series recognized and showcased exemplary citizens and stakeholders across the country who are playing their part. Yes, indeed, our people are playing their part. Through our research, we continue to develop tailored environmental analysis, updates focused on domestic and international dynamics, be it related to the COVID-19 pandemic or foreign direct investment trends, for example. Through our partnership with Miss South Africa and the Miss South Africa Play Your Part Ambassador of the Year Award, Brand South Africa celebrated proud and patriotic South African women that displays commitment towards active citizenship. These are but a few of the highlights from the first two quarters of the year. and I'd like to take this opportunity to commend the concerted efforts undertaken by the team at Brain South Africa, led by the acting CEO, Ms. Julie Silimanzini, to engage with and through stakeholders to execute its mandate during this unprecedented, difficult period. And as I listen, Chair, to the inputs made by members, I also understand the fact that many of us, not only Brain South Africa, has suffered because of COVID to be able to do its activations on the ground. And the CEO, the acting CEO, will highlight all this. I thank you for your indulgence, Chair.
Thank you very much. And I would like to greet, thank you very much, Chairperson, Ms. Tandi Tobias. I would like to greet the Chairperson and committee members and Deputy Minister, my colleagues and my colleagues from Brain South Africa. I will be taking the committee through the presentation. My name is Julie Silimanzini, the acting CEO of Brain South Africa. Dr. Judy will be helping me with controlling the Dr. Judy will be helping me to control the screen. The next slide, please. And we will be presenting Q1 and Q2. That is the table of content of what is going to be covered. Let's proceed. In Q1, Brain South Africa, the overall performance of Q1, we achieved 86%, and we couldn't achieve 14% for the reasons that I'm going to state as we proceed. In the targets that are not achieved are as follows. In Q1, targets that were not achieved, one, we wanted to complete the review of the organizational corporate identity, and we set money aside for that. We couldn't meet that particular target, and the reason for that is that the target was not met due to funds being rechanneled to COVID-19 initiatives when we were requested to surrender some funds. First, it was 30 million, then there was another huge figure that we had to surrender due to COVID initiatives, and hence we couldn't deliver on this one. And also the issue of the draft operating model, this was the structure. We were at the verge of finalizing the structure of Brain South Africa. In Q1, we couldn't do this, although the evaluation of the work study tender delayed due to COVID-19 and everything. But right at the end, when we are about to finalize moving forward, I'll be able to explain to say because of the pending merger between Brain South Africa and other entities, we got that directive and we had to stop this one. So it is not going to proceed unless we get another directive, because we can't be dealing with the structure of Brain South Africa in the midst of the pending merger. And we also set ourselves to the quarterly target of 91%. We couldn't do that because most of the targets were not achieved due to restrictive measures put in place by government to keep the spread. Because our work, as you may know, is that most of the work is conduct, and those activities where we're supposed to keep conduct were not done. Let's move. Dr. J, the next one. We were supposed to have 4 integrated reputation and communication activities. These are the main ones that we were supposed to do, but we couldn't do them, not out of our own making. The reason was that the WEF, which we usually have, the World Economic Forum that we have in Switzerland in January, was cancelled due to COVID-19, not cancelled by Brain South Africa, of course, but by the organizers. Also, the Africa Business Summit 2020, the Oxford Africa Conference, the AU Extraordinary Summit. We had set ourselves to do that, but we couldn't due to those unforeseen circumstances. We were supposed to have a nation brand forum, a pre-nation brand forum, and that, again, we were not able to honor that because of the funds, because the funds that were set aside for the pre-nation brand forum, we then had to contribute, or those funds were then taken for COVID-19. And also we developed a nation brand alignment policy. That one couldn't happen because that discussion paper was also delayed due to COVID-19 impact. But all these things that I'm saying were delayed due to COVID-19. You'll see as I proceed, members, that we were able to catch up on some of them because this is just Q1 and already we are far. So this I'm reporting Q1 as Q1 happened, but there's a lot of catch up that we have done in the process. So some of these things have already been done, and we will see as we move to Q2 and later on when we are called again to come and report in Q3. Let's proceed on the targets that we have met and even exceeded. Yes, COVID-19 is there, but I'm pleased to say that in some areas we were able, even working from home and working remotely, we were able to deliver on some targets and we were able to exceed. For instance, the 30% spend on BEE level one suppliers, that target was met, and also we met and actually exceeded that particular target. The target of 30% spend on this level one was set as a baseline target in consideration previous financial year results. Let's proceed. And also the 15, we set ourselves for Q1 for 15 positive communication pieces. This target was met and exceeded. Instead of 15, we delivered 23 positive communication pieces. This target was met and exceeded. And I'm pleased to say that these are some of the communication pieces that assisted us during this particular time to be able to put the country on the map. Let's continue. And also we set ourselves to do two positive thought leadership pieces because remember, we are about communication. We are about marketing. So it's important for us to now and then have this thought leadership pieces. The target was met and exceeded. We had four instead of two thought leadership pieces. Then we were supposed to have one positive webinar, and we had four webinars in partnership with Daily Maverick. So we met and exceeded that particular target. Also, we set ourselves to have three PYP provincial activities. That target was met and exceeded. We delivered five PYP, which is Play Your Part activities that we delivered, and we reached KZN, Limpopo, Gauteng, Free State, and the Northern Cape. So we exceeded by two activities. Let's proceed. We were supposed to have three collaborative activities implemented in partnership with civil society. Here the target was met and exceeded. We had four instead of three. We had one in the Eastern Cape, which was the Eastern Cape Career Development Collaboration with the Sindisa Dunga Foundation. We also had an organized labor COVID-19 SM radio discussion collaboration with SAFTU. Also the faith-based organization COVID-19 awareness message with SACC, South African Council of Churches, and also the youth mental dialogue with Masikule Innovators. So we met this particular target amidst the COVID. Hence our saying, there are certain things that we're able to deliver on. Please let's proceed. On Q2, that was quarter one. On Q2, we were able to achieve 78% and we're not able to achieve 22% for the reasons that will follow. Let's proceed. The targets that were not achieved was one, the issue of the vacancy rate. As we all know that the vacancy rate must be 10% or lower. Here, we did not meet this target because by Q2, the vacancy rate for the period under review in Q2 was at 12%. And we couldn't meet this particular target because of all the critical positions that were not filled in Prince South Africa and also the people that have left, but also the contracts that came to an end. And for instance, some of the executives had to exit. So because of that, we found ourselves at 12.28%. and also the fact that we are at this particular stage unable to fill vacant positions because of what I've said, the pending merger between Brand South Africa SA Tourism Invest SA. So because of that, we are unable to fill in positions. We are waiting for that directive as to what is it that is going to happen moving forward. But I know that they're working on it, and very soon when we come back, there will be a report on that. The draft 2020 annual performance plan approved by the board, this target could not be met, not because we didn't have the annual draft performance plan, but because of the date of the sitting of the board and the date for the tabling. So we have since corrected that to make sure that the date of the tabling, all the dates, if there is a date that whatever document must be submitted, we are making sure, working with the company secretary, to make sure that those dates are aligned with the dates when the board is going to sit. The 91% quarterly organizational performance rating here, we achieved 78%. The target was not met because most of the Q targets were not achieved due to the restrictive measures, like I've said, in Q1. We were struggling, especially where we had to rely on external partners and they cancel at the last minute, and some where we have to go to school because we do your constitutional awareness and there were no kids in schools, and those things we do them, it's contact sessions. So it became difficult for us to be able to reach this particular target. Let's proceed. We were supposed to have two integrated reputation and communication activities. The target was not met because the Women for Africa Virtual Summit in the UK and also the BRICS engagement postponed to Q3 at the host country, Russia. Russia changed the date, hence we could not meet this. But I'm happy to say that in Q3, when we report our report, that this has since been achieved because this particular activity then happened. We're supposed to have four internal analysis pieces that we produce. The target was not met because of the dependency on the release of the new indices by third parties. But because of COVID-19, those third parties or external parties did not release these indices, so hence we were not able to meet this particular very important target. The 5% growth in user engagement on social media, the target was not met. The percentage increase in Q2 was only 1.5%, which was a shortfall of 3.5% against the target of the 5%. And the variance may be attributed to a decrease in placement in paid or promoted content in comparison to Q1 that had vigorous COVID-19 awareness drive across our social media platforms. Because in Q1, we were very vigorous also, and that was the start of the COVID, and we communicated a lot, and we were able to grow in the user engagement on social media platforms. Please let's proceed, Dr. J. On the four collaborative activities implemented in partnership with the public sector stakeholder domestically, the target was not met. And the variance is that the collaboration with the Gauteng Tourism Authority was deferred to Q3. So here we're able to do three instead of four. The fourth one is the one that we couldn't do with the Gauteng Tourism Authority. It was deferred to Q3 due to partner postponement. But I'm happy to report that this one in Q3, it was done. So when I report in Q3, this one will show the target met because we would have done it. One stakeholder impact survey on the survey, it was developed, but still we were not able to implement it because we were still waiting for input. There were no inputs received from stakeholders. Let's proceed. Proceed, Dr. J. Two organizational policies and procedures workshop. This was the target was met and exceeded. Instead of two, we had three. The 30% spent, the target was met and exceeded. 68% spent, let's proceed. And here maybe on that, we and then there is a one marketing campaign that illustrates the attractiveness of the nation brand to domestic audience. The target was met and exceeded. Instead of one, we had three. We had the Brand SA New Domestic AV, the Lurie's collaboration, and also the Miss South Africa collaboration. And this strategic collaboration were utilized to further showcase the nation brand. And also here, we were supposed to have one marketing campaign that illustrates the attractiveness of the nation brand. Instead of one, we had two, which is one, the newly produced national brand investment AV, and the Place Brand Observer collaboration. And this AV, that the AVs that we always see when we have this summit, whether it's your investment summit, those AVs, that even before the president speaks, we play them, or even at the opening, Brand South Africa does produce that. We are showcasing the country so that anybody can see what is it that we are doing in enhancing that. Also, the three PYP provincial activities, the target was met and exceeded. We did a PYP activation in the Eastern Cape. As you can see, we try by all means to cover all the provinces, difficult as it is amid the pandemic. We did a PYP schools activation in Northwest, a PYP school activation in Mpumalanga, and also a PYP virtual series that were also flighted. So due to COVID-19 pandemic, on the ground activation could not be implemented. The PYP virtual series was produced to augment the PYP school activation where we couldn't go physically. Let's proceed. The 15 PYP ambassador engagement activities, as we know that we have got Play Your Part ambassadors that are assisting us to spread the word, and the target met and exceeded. Instead, we had 34 instead of 15 Play Your Part ambassador engagement activities. And these ambassadors were active in supporting the Play Your Part program during the COVID-19 pandemic. They really assisted us, because in areas where we couldn't reach physically in South Africa, where we are relying on these ambassadors. And then we planned four global South African activations. The target was met and exceeded. Instead of four, we had six, which was the GSA networking portal launch. This was done in head office. Also the 67 Nelson Mandela Day in Washington, D.C., because we've got offices in the U.S., also the Run Walk Cycle Mandela Challenge, which was in the UK. Also, there was an activation in China. Also, the Fly the Flag campaign, which happened in the UK. And also the Jerusalem Challenge, which happened in the UK, like the president has said. So we heeded that particular call. So all the GSA activation, in China was a tactical opportunity for strategic reasons. And also the Jerusalem Challenge was a tactical opportunity also identified in response to the president's call. We also planned for three collaborative activities in partnership with civil society. Instead, we had four, which were the one for the, with the Nelson Mandela, the Council of Churches again, also the collaboration with the Dumisani Chauke Netball Foundation, and also collaboration with the with UJ. The important thing that I need to say here on this specific one is that the one for the Council of Churches, this activity was strategically important for us, as it was aimed at encouraging adherence to COVID-19 safety guidelines. Also the collaboration with Dumisani Chauke Foundation was in response to community needs. We're giving food to needy communities. And also the three collaborative activities implemented with business now, because we have business, government, and civil society. And I've mentioned the others now. I'm dealing with what we did with business. The target was also met and exceeded. We had four. So we did the top 50 brand online assignment, announcement, Absa Bank and SA Red Cross, Africa South Arts Biennale, and Multi-Choice Anti-GBV conference. And the organization, as an organization, we leverage an opportunity to collaborate with Multi-Choice on the anti-GBV activity, which is a priority for South Africa right now. So when we were approached by Multi-Choice, we were able to collaborate with them because we realized that this was a very important opportunity, and the Department of Justice was part of this. But Friends South Africa, we collaborated because this was a topic that we needed at that particular time. We needed to be able to spread the word on GBV. Let's proceed. And also the four collaborative activities implemented in partnership with the public sector and business, the target was met and exceeded. One, the screening of the Life is Wonderful, Mandela's Unsung Heroes. This was done in the UK. Also, there was a virtual meetup dialogue on race, gender, Black identities, and African women in workplaces. This was in the US. And also the emerging oil and gas opportunity in Africa, and this was in the UK. And also the Coke Zero in the US, and also the Sydney South Africa Film Festival. This we did here in head office. And the variance for that is that the emerging oil gas in Africa activity was moved forward from Q4 to Q2 by the partner. And also an opportunity presented itself, Chairperson, for Brand South Africa to collaborate with Sydney South Africa Film Festival. And this was a technical opportunity deemed for strategic enough to support. And we deemed it strategic enough to support. Let's proceed. Please proceed. The performance against a Q1 target to develop a distinctive brand South Africa corporate identity that I spoke about, and I have already said why was the target not met in terms of the funds that were to be channeled. Please proceed, Dr. J. The same I spoke about the issue of the sound. On the issue of the sound corporate governance, the actual performance, there is no variance on this one. All these targets were met. We had all the meetings that we're supposed to have, and your board meetings, your ACO, your MACO, your HRSEC, also compliance checklist, and also organizational policies that we had to have and procedures. There is no variance. All these targets were met. Previously, I was dealing with those that were met and exceeded. This particular target on sound financials, we set ourselves for an unqualified audit opinion, and it's exactly what happened. There is no variance. The actual performance is the satisfactory. We got an unqualified audit opinion in the financial statement and other matters. Let's proceed. Sound financial statement, also, we set ourselves for 100% of valid payments made to suppliers within 30 days. This particular target was met. There is no variance. We were able to do that. Actually, some of them, we were able to pay in less than 30 days. And we heeded the call because previously we were found wanting on some of the suppliers that were not paid during that particular period. Also, on the 30% spend on BEE, that particular target was met and exceeded. Instead of 30%, we move over to 75%. And also on the 100% achievement of supply chain compliance checklist, that particular target was met. Let's proceed. And also on the that we set ourselves to be an employer of choice, and our target was the approved operating model. I explained about that the issue of the draft operating model, which was consulted and at the verge of finalizing it, we couldn't finalize it because this talks to the structure of the organization. We couldn't do it. We also, because we're seeing that we are losing skilled people, we had an approved retention strategy, and the retention strategy is in place. Let's proceed. Also, the approved 2022 annual performance plan, the target was met. There is no variance. We set ourselves for 91% overall organizational performance rating, and the 91% and the target was not met. I explained because it's 86% because of all the other activities that we were not able to do, but most of them not all our own making, but because of the circumstances around COVID. Let's proceed. The legal compliance, we set ourselves for four reports to the Board of Trustees on the applicable legislative framework, and apologies. The target was met. Let's proceed. There is no variant. Also an IT enabling environment. The target was met. Sound risk management. The target was met. Also on the showcasing of the nation brand strengths domestically, because we needed to showcase the nation brand. Also domestically, it's no use for us to be going out there and sell South Africa when we are unable to sell South Africa to South Africans. So on the showcase of the nation brand strength domestically, we plan for 4 marketing campaigns that illustrate that, and the target was met. A new domestic AV, which incorporated a pillar of democracy and innovation, was produced and flighted on digital platforms, and the AV delivered 1.35 million impressions. And also showcasing, we were able to, the target was met. We also have one campaign, the investment in a brave future, invest in South Africa audiovisual material, that was also flighted. We met this particular target as well. Let's proceed. The integrated nation brand reputation program, the target was met. The actual performance was the domestic tourism promotion, and there is no variance. Also, on the second one, the 4 integrated reputation and communication activities, this target was not met because all these activities were cancelled due to COVID, and I've already explained them when I started your WEF Africa, your Africa Business Summit, and so forth. Let's continue. They developed insight to inform the nation brand. We planned for ourselves to have 3 monthly surveys and 3 FDGs. And the target was met. We delivered 3 monthly online mobile surveys. And also 2 internal analysis pieces produced. We delivered the internal analysis. And also 1 stakeholder consultation. We did that consultation, the SAPG, which is the South African Global Reputation Study. The consultation session aligned with the reputation and post-COVID-19 recovery engagement. There is no variance. The target was met. Also, the research reference group planning. The target was met. The actual performance was the UP Alumni Thought Leadership Session. We had a pre-budget panel webinar and a post-budget panel webinar. We had to change this APP target to enhance the response to COVID-19 capability. The next one was the implementation of the reputation management strategy. This target was met. The reputation management strategy for 2021 was approved by EXCO. There is no variance. Let's proceed. And then on this one, we needed to have 15 positive communication pieces, 2 positive thought leadership pieces, and also 1 positive webinar. This target was met and exceeded. We had 23 positive communication pieces, like I have previously illustrated. And here we are supposed to have 3 content pieces published emanating from the media. This is where we enhance the strategic communication program internationally and domestically. So we had 3 content pieces published emanating from the media in tours and engagement. So this happened. 1 Africa Month piece, 1 Spotify content, 1 influencer campaign. And then the reputation management report highlighting issues assessed and responded to. We were able to deliver on that. We had 1 reputation report on issues responded to. Proceed. The 2% growth in user engagement on social media, this target was met. We had a 2% user engagement growth rate for this particular quarter. A 3 play your part provincial activity met and exceeded. Please proceed. 15 PYP ambassador engagement, the target was met. We had 10 ambassador engagements. Like I have said, let's proceed. One constitution, and then on promoting the constitutional awareness. On T1, we planned for 1 constitutional awareness, and we have it. We had it, and it was 1 campaign that was delivered as per the target. The constitutional awareness campaign focusing on the freedom to religion flighted on digital platforms. And also we planned for 2 constitutional awareness activities. We had 1. The youth month activation, and we also had the second one was the history board game, that was a school engagement. and also the own international activities that are targeted at promoting the nation brand pride and patriotism. We plan 4 global South African activation that we're supposed to implement. We had this one, the message of the hope for South Africa from the GSA in the UK, the Freedom Day celebrating GSA in the UK, and also the Global Citizen Campaign in head office, and also the Africa Day virtual shout out event in collaboration with the GSA and diaspora in the US. And on review and implement the stakeholder relations, we plan to review the stakeholder relations strategy, and that was approved, the stakeholder relations strategy. And the next one in strategic partnership with the public sector and business, we plan for 3 collaborative activities, and those activities were implemented. One was the Africa Month live stream concert with the Department of Arts and Culture and Constitutional Hill, and then the Youth Online Career Expo with NYDA, and also the AU Chair Easter and Ramadan messages with the presidency. We also planned for the 3 collaborative activities implemented in partnership with civil society. We had 4, we met and exceeded. The Eastern Cape that I spoke about, the organized labor with SAFM, all these ones I've already mentioned them previously. Let's proceed. And also this one, the 3 collaborative activities that were implemented, the COVID-19 awareness and the business discussion on COVID-19 recovery strategies, and also the food relief program with the UBank and the Mine Workers Development Agency. The target was met. And also the pre-nation brand forum target was not met, and I explained about the issue of the funding that we had to reshuffle around. Let's continue. And also the 4 collaborative activities that we implement with the public sector and business and civil society, we were able to deliver the Rainbow Nation, the celebration with people in Instagram Live in the UK, the Africa Economic Outlook in the UK, this webinar, also the virtual session on combating COVID-19 Africa Initiative, and also the Youth Day celebration Zoom event, which happened in the UK. And the provincial nation brand alignment training, we did this at the training that we did in the province, because it's important for us to always make sure that we do this particular training so that whatever that they do, even in provinces, they are able, whatever they do, to align with the nation brand. So we did the following training: the Junior Chamber International, Eastern Cape Tourism Agency, the Department of Water and Sanitation. These are the trainings that we have delivered. And we also planned for 1 stakeholder impact survey, because this is the survey that will show us if there is impact in what we do or not. The target was met in Q1. There was that the impact survey report. There is no variance. Also on the approved discussion paper, the target was not met because we had to reprioritize targets. Please proceed. Then against Q2, we planned also for the board to curate and have their meeting as planned. That happened. The target was met. There is no variance. Report on exostatus policy, the checklist. The target was met. The organizational policies were also met. Let's proceed. Oh, sorry. This target was not met. Sorry. The target, target met and exceeded, because instead of 2, we had 3. Please proceed. And also the satisfactory internal audit report, the target was met. We got the satisfactory internal audit report in finance and procurement environment. And this is actually a good sign for us that we are moving towards the right direction, because we always found wanting most of the time when it comes to these areas. So when we get this type of reports from internal audit, it gives us hope. Also the 100% valid payments to suppliers, target was met. Also the 30% target was met and exceeded in Q2, 68%. In Q1, I reported 75%. Let's proceed. Also the issue of the vacancy rate, again, target not met, except for the same reason, because even now we are unable to fill positions because of the pending measure. we are waiting for direction. I spoke also about the issue of the draft annual report and the dates that we are sorting out to make sure that the issue of the dates when the board is sitting and the dates we're supposed to submit that they align. Let's continue. And the 91%, the target was not met, the 91% performance. Most of the Q2 were not achieved due to the restrictive measures put in place. And also the report to Board of Trustees, it was met. Recommended IT strategy, it was met. Q1 risk management report, target was met. One marketing campaign, target was met and exceeded. There are three instead of one. One marketing campaign, target met and exceeded instead of one. There are two. There was no planned activity for Q2 on the integrated nation plan, so there is no variance. And on the next one, we plan two integrated reputation. The target was not met for the Women for Africa virtual because of the BRICS engagement that was postponed to Q3 because Russia changed the date. But I've reported that we have since played catch up in Q3. So in Q3, when I report, I will be reporting that the target was met. The 3-monthly survey, like I've said, the target was met. The internal analysis pieces target was not met because of the dependencies from the debt parties. This is Q2. The things sound similar because we are doing Q2 and Q3 at the same time. The stakeholder consultation target met. Research reference, the target was met. The African Nexus Research Reference Group was hosted on the 9th of September 2020. And the reputation management. Hello?
Tuli, can I interrupt you?
Yes.
I have a request from members that you must only speak on targets not met, because okay, they have the copy of your presentation, so that you must allow much time for engagement.
Okay.
Thank you.
Let's proceed, Dr. J. Please proceed, proceed, proceed. Okay, on human resources. On human resources for Q1, the total workforce we was 57%. I mean, sorry, I like percent. 57 warm bodies. I mean, 57 capacity, but the warm bodies, 49, vacant 8, and the vacancy rate was 14%. And also the training is there on employment equity and BID. And I'm specifying the one on the BID committee because that is the area which previously we found wanting. So with us doing the BID committee training for all the employees in Brand South Africa, it is to make sure that we adhere to all the supply chain requirements. And the vacancy rate, we'll see when we do Q2 that at least it's changing, although we are not at 10% because of the meritorium that has been put in place. Let's proceed, Dr. J. And here on the issue of the COVID-19, what we only bought in Brand South Africa were your surgical mask, your thermometer, your hand sanitizers, and your wipes is the normal thing for the staff that we are able to account for and that were procured properly following the supply chain processes. So there are no issues there. Let's proceed. Also, the issue of the training again at number 9, also 69% of the employees that were trained are female because we are putting emphasis on that. And also on the EE training, 87% trained are females. Let's proceed, Dr. Chen. We are about to finish. Brand South Africa, in terms of representativity, we are at 63.27 females, 36 in Q1, 36.73 males, and 91% of that workforce is black, 2% is white, 2% again is colored, 4% is Indian, and 0 in workforce living with disability. That is in Q1. Let's proceed. Let's proceed. This is the same thing. And in human resources in Q2, workforce of 57, but now the current number of staff is 50 versus the 47 I spoke about, and the vacant post is 7, and the vacancy rate now is not at 14%, but at 12%. And also, again, we are proceeding with the training. And the last bullet of number five still talks to the, we are emphasizing the issue of supply chain. So the BEAT committee training will keep on appearing every quarter because we make sure that we also give refresher courses. Let's proceed, Dr. J. We are about to finish, Chairperson. Let's continue. This is COVID, the normal stuff. Let's proceed. In Q2, we are now on female, we are at 64%, and male 36%, and 92% of that is black, 2% white, 2% colored, 4% Indian, and 0 workforce living with disability. Please proceed. Please proceed. And on corporate governance, we continue to have all our board meetings amid COVID on MS team. And also also when there is a need, there are special meetings. There will be your special ARCO, the audit and risk to look at issues that have a potential risk that we need to deal with. Let's proceed. On finance, I will only talk about that. In Q1, we had a 33% variance, which is made up of the 47%, 49%, 18% brand marketing, stakeholder relations and administration. And all those variants were caused because, one, the postponement of events I spoke about, but the variance in administration specifically was the delay in the payment of the caller and also the filling of vacancies. The caller is the cost of living adjustment because we are waiting for direction from the Department of Public Service and Administration. And we all know the matter is in the public domain, has not been finalized. And then in Q2, we had a variance of 28%. Also, the same reason is due to the timing and difference of the marketing activities that have happened. But the 60% in administration was the delay. Also, same problem, the cost of living adjustment of employees, the filling of vacancies. Let's proceed. The strategic risk register, I'm not going to go into it like the chairperson has just said that because it is long, the members have the presentation. I thank you.
Yeah, the presentation is now open for discussion, honorable members. Can members who want to speak indicate by show of hands on the platform?
Chair,
I see Honorable Maluleke, Honorable Gondwe, Honorable Komani, Honorable Malazi, Honorable Schreiber. Honorable Malule.
Thank you.
Honorable Malule, can you come in? I also see Honorable Tebekulu after Honorable Schreiber. Honorable Malule, can you take the platform? Are you muted, Honorable Maluleke?
Let me... No. Am I audible, Chair?
I can hear you now.
Oh, okay. I was saying, let me welcome the presentation by Brand South Africa and commend them for the good work that they are doing, especially in achieving the unqualified audit opinion. But Chairperson, I've got some few questions in relation to especially the filling of vacant positions. My worry is if they've got vacant positions, firstly, the budget that is being budgeted for those positions, what's going to happen to that budget?
And is it not going to have a negative impact on their audit report? And maybe also to go on to say, when the presenter was presenting, there's good thing when she says females are at this percentage, white, black, but my worry is about the disabled people. Do the Brand South Africa have a plan to ensure that disabled people are also given an opportunity to have a say or to contribute in the Brand South Africa? And secondly, I would like to know, what role did Brand South Africa play during restrictive measures of lockdown 5 and 3 in changing people's perception about the COVID-19 pandemic? And how can ordinary South African approach the organization for collaboration in order to promote Brand South Africa locally, such as the Misani Chauke Netball Tournament? If they can clarify on that one. Otherwise, Chairperson, I'm happy about their performance. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Honorable Kondwe.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Let me thank Brand SA for their presentation and start by commending them for meeting and even exceeding some of their targets. I'm a bit puzzled, though, that some of their other targets they could not meet, and the reason they gave was due to the restrictions that were placed on all of us by government. So I want to understand that on one hand, you were able to achieve and even exceed some of your targets. On the other hand, you were not able to meet them. The ones that you were not able to meet, is it because they were hinged on the lockdown? Please just explain a little bit more. I know you give the lockdown as a reason for that, but I feel that if you were able to meet and exceed some of your other targets, then, you know, I'm not entirely sure why, you know, the lockdown remained an excuse for the non-achievement of other targets. I would like to also commend you for having a strategic risk register. It's very important for helping you plan better as an organization. I want to find out who is responsible for monitoring the recommended management action plans under the different risks that are identified in the register. I was also a bit concerned that some of the recommended management action plans did not have timelines, such as the business continuity management policy and the business recovery plan. You can indicate clearly that we can have that done by this, you know, by this time. Some of them, I understand, are ongoing, but these ones, I feel like you could have pinned the date on when this policy and this plan would be in place in terms of the risks that have been identified. I note in the presentation as well that the contract of the previous CEO ended on the 31st of July 2020. I want to find out, are there plans afoot to advertise this position and eventually fill it? I stand to be corrected, but I do believe that someone is currently acting in that position. And then staff with disabilities, I agree with Honorable Maluleke. In this day and age, we're a country that prides itself on diversity and inclusivity. And for an organization, you know, of your caliber, not to have someone with disabilities on their staff complement, I think it's unacceptable. So I would advise you to please urgently prioritize this. And then just building on a question asked by Honorable Maluleke again, what has been the impact of the pandemic and our subsequent response to the pandemic as a country on our brand as a country, if any? Thank you very much, Chairperson.
Thank you. Can I now, Honorable Koman?
Yeah, thank you very much, Chair. Let us also welcome the presentation by the Brand South Africa. However, Chairperson, we cannot praise as fish for swimming, by the way. like the previous honorable member has just alluded, Chair, one would as well wonder as to how does the department manage to exceed other targets and not do well on the others, given the excuses that they are giving that we have got a pandemic. I don't think the pandemic should be used as an excuse now. By the way, Chair, and again, Chairperson, we heard on the presentation that there are employees leaving the organization, especially now the scarce skills that is needed so much. So one would then ask, what is the organization doing to attract rather than having those people leaving the organization? And Chair, on the same breath, one would as well not be satisfied and would want maybe to be explained to say why this 12.28 vacancy rate now in South Africa, because it is beyond acceptable, Chairperson. And again, because the suspended CEO contract has lapsed now, maybe the organization should then take us into confidence as to what is happening. And again, still on the positions, Chair, maybe if the organization could indicate to us if there are still other critical positions that are vacant within the organization, and if they are there, when what is being done, or what the time frame maybe when they would then be filled. And Chair, the next question would then be, how can the ordinary citizens approach the organization for collaboration? Because we've got so many people in the country which maybe need to want to collaborate with the organization, but they would not know how and how to approach. So what is it that the organization is doing to engage or to meet the ordinary citizens of South Africa, Chairperson? The next question would then be, because we've got so much corruption in the country, Chair, what was budgeted for the PEE or the PPE during this COVID pandemic era, and how much was spent, Chair? And equally, on the same breath, Chair, maybe if the organization could then take us into confidence whether there were any fruitless and irregular expenditures during the two quarters that they are reporting on. And if there were such, what measures were put in place? And exactly if they were there, what consequent management was put into place? Because they would then find that there were instances like the monitoring evaluation when they presented, they would tell us that yes, there were, but we would not even know as to where that happened, how was it addressed, and what consequent management was then put in place. And Chairperson, given that the presentation said the PYP has been enrolled to different provinces, one would then ask, what was the yardstick maybe to measure as to how and which provinces were they to start with? Why did they not start with the Northwest, if one may be given an example? Why did they start with those that they have started with? And maybe they would indicate as to the need, if there was a need to those provinces that they started on, and maybe how did they measure them against the others they did not prioritize. And lastly, Chairperson, one would then ask, did the internal audit unit verify this quarterly performances? Because when we take into consideration that most of the marketing in this organization is done internationally, Chairperson. Thank you very much.
Honorable Schreiber.
Thank you, Chair. I have two questions that I'd like to pose. The first one is, can the officials give us a sense of the impact that the COVID-19 corruption scandals that have been exposed in the media and on public platforms recently actually had on the perceptions of South Africa as a brand? We know that this has been covered extensively in international publications, and I think we'd be remiss if we don't assess as a committee what the impact of this kind of coverage and revelations actually are on South Africa. Chair, the second question I'd like to ask is, it really fascinates me how much energy is put into slideshows and breakdowns of racial quotas, racial bean counting. I wonder, where is the slideshow or the slide showing the breakdown of skills in Brand South Africa? Where is the slide showing the breakdown of qualifications? Where is the slideshow showing the breakdown of people who have been hired on the basis of their competence and what they have achieved actually in Brand South Africa? I'd like to know where that energy is. It's always there when it comes to equity plans and racial transformation plans. Where is it when it comes to skills plans and a breakdown of the skills that are actually available in this organization? Thank you, Chair.
Honorable Qabekulu. Honorable Qabekulu. Okay, Honorable Qabekulu, we lost him. Honorable Lesoma.
Thank you, Honorable Chair, and good day, colleagues. And thank you very much, Chair, for the opportunity. Let me also welcome the presentation. That it's encouraging. It's better than the last term one, financial year, as it were. I will apologize if other questions have been asked, but I would love, because I did post them. I'm not too sure whether the team from Brand SA, and welcome Chairperson of the Brand SA, have seen my questions that I posted earlier on. I can see they have gone in the chat box, as it were. Then I'll repeat them for the record purposes. And of course, building to some of my colleagues' questions, that the way alarming concerns raised by the AG report at Brand SA pertaining to record keeping and adherence with the daily and monthly controls, as it were. As you are aware, that when the AG, may his soul, the late AG, may his soul rest in peace, he, on his findings on the on-time auditing, as it were, those are the other issues that he did find in other departments. Then my question would be, has the entity sought out any mechanism to deal with the concerns? If so, what are those mechanisms that are in place that will make sure that the AG's concern is responded to positively? And of course, equally, it's our concern as the oversight body. The second one, Chair, will be on the compliance. And I'm happy that there is somebody who's dedicated in terms of monitoring, but in terms of the direct question that I would like to ask is that monitoring compliance with key legislation, I think what Honorable Gondo was also asking, I'm just putting it a different way, with the legislation has been growing concern at Brand SA, particularly at supply, which is more of supply chain where COVID-19 and other related matters are being handled. Has there been any progress in addressing this concern? This is a problematic area if challenges are not addressed. And I hope that they are addressed, but I'm just saying that if they're not, or they are addressed in a very snail pace, then it does then encourages the fatal and working environment of non-compliance as expected. The other one, the other last two issues, Chair. I think Honorable Straber have asked, but also if they can, in their next engagement with us or a special meeting, because we must also pay attention to the COVID-19 social relief, as it were, and responding to that. Have they conducted their own timeline, on-time audit to make sure that when the AG, all the check and balances are addressed moving forward? Because when you audit, it's water under the bridge, but also want to have a sense of comfort that whether those issues moving forward are not going to be repeating itself. The other one is which will be the second last, is the noting that in the 2019-20, we were dealing with the normal, but also we have to adjust our program to be in line with the directed by COVID-19. And this term now, this financial year, then we are fully fledged living with the COVID-19. Is there any distinct modernized marketing strategy that Brand SA intends to employ In what form are they going to employ it? Noting that some of the international flights or other countries, they've also closed down for our SA flights from South Africa. The other one probably when they are responding, the detailed response to Honorable Schreiber's question in terms of the technical or soft skills and qualifications that are needed in the family of Brand SA, if they can also furnish us with the information with what skills are needed for the company for Brand SA, as it were, because we might also have a different view of the skills and the qualifications that are needed, whereas informed by the core mandate of Brand SA. But also, I must hasten to say in closing that we are not intending to run the organization, but we would love to get some details when we engage at a policy level and an oversight level. We are have a sense of comfort in terms of the information, but also must guard against or also trying to call run the departments, as it were. Thank you very much, Chairperson, for the opportunity.
Honorable Mutsipe.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson. I would also like to welcome the presentation of the Brand SA and also the progressive work that they have done this year. So, but most of the questions my honorables have already been asked, but I also have only two questions which I would like to ask the Brand SA, which is the suspended CEO contract has lapsed. Is the position of that CEO being advertised? Can you also tell us which other critical funded positions in the organization are not yet filled? Second question, taking into consideration the impact of the coronavirus on the socio-economic, what role does the Brand SA play in assisting government to market the country and attract more investors under this worldwide pandemic? Thank you so much, Honorable Chairperson.
Honorable Nduli, I heard that you were struggling to raise hand. Can I give you the opportunity now? And then it will be Honorable Tsebekulu after you.
Thank you, Chairperson. You see, the implications of being born before IT are very hard, I'm telling you. You use the MacBook today, it takes you where it likes. You use the phone.
We lost.
It takes you where.
We are losing you, Honorable Ntuli.
Chair, I was trying to say the implications of being born before IT are very hard, you know. These gadgets will sort of divert you from time to time. Anyway, Chairperson, I was partly covered on some issues that I wanted to raise, except to say I would love to emphasize on the vacancy rate to say as a presenter mentioned that they are still waiting. For me, they'll be waiting forever. They need to strive to close the gap. Yes, we understand that they've reduced from 14 to 12, but it's still not a good sign. And also, Chair, to check with Brand SA if they intend having more programs with schools in remote areas, because Lapes Zulini, Gutwali, Gotwali Se Mans. Now, working with schools as Brand SA will help installing the patriotism to our young people. Thank you.
Honorable Tsebekulu. We lost.
Yes, Chair. I'm back. I'm back, Chair.
Okay.
I'm back.
All right.
Chairperson, My question to Brand SA was just based on the fact that we've been hearing reports on media, which is radio, with regards to the laying down of employees in the hotels and the bus, big tourist bus companies. They are doing the same. So seeing that they all mentioned tourist business struggling to survive, what will be your take, Brand SA, on working against that challenge? One needs to understand exactly, simply because you seem to have been having your net very wide open to bring in a lot of organizations that you seem to be working with in order to promote the Brand SA. Thank you.
Honorable Malati, come in.
Thanks, Chair. Thanks very much. I've got a question regarding the board's plans in terms of, you know, addressing the long-standing issue with regards to the CEO's post. Because I see in the presentation a very pedestrian reference was made to the fact that the suspended CEO's contract has lapsed. And there was an ongoing process of disciplinary action that was taking place there. So the lapse of that contract represents two questions. One is, what is then going to happen with the status of those disciplinary actions that had been initiated? And secondly, is the plan and the roadmap to filling that post on a permanent basis? Because we are now in an era where the initial contract has left. They've been an acting CEO since the suspension. But in my view, this is the time where the board should take us in its confidence regarding the long-term plans to fill that position. And secondly, I mean, I speak under correction here, but I'd like the Deputy Minister to clarify me. She had made reference from the in her prelude to the presentations that there were two vacancies in the board, in the Brand SA board, now as a result of departures that happened late last year. Again, there, if that information is as accurate as I understood it, can we get a sense of when the two vacancies will now be advertised and what is, you know, the projected deadline in terms of filling those vacancies? Thanks, Chair.
Thank you. Can we get responses to the question raised?
Yes, Chair, you can get the responses. I'm going to request that I answer some and then I give the CEO and the team and Dr. K to answer others. Just one, in relation to the adverse audit finding which was made by the late Auditor General, may he rest in peace. If you'll remember, even at the time when we came to you, we had realized that we have erred. And at that process, we did not hide that we have got problems as an institution. And we had already put in mechanisms to ensure that we improve so that our audit findings can be clean. DG, CEO, not DG, CEO to him, acting CEO, if you can please just elaborate on the measures which we put in place at that time. It's just that because he was already there, he found us already to have errored, but we're already correcting. The other issue in relation to, I'm not sure if I must commit to a timeline, when before the minister could depart, Minister Mtembu, we had agreed that we were going to appoint them in January, and unfortunately he passed away. What I'm going to do is that let me commit to the portfolio committee that those two vacancies of the board, I will, after this meeting, when the minister is also done, acting Minister Kumbuzo, she's done, I'll have a conversation with her to say, let's fill those two vacancies so that it can be timely. And so I don't think it will take more than four weeks or a month. it should, because the process was done. Brand SA advertised. I think they send us the list of the potential candidates, and we are just only supposed to take those names to the president, who ideally is the one who is appointing. I spoke about the skills. We are ensuring that we place the correct skills with the correct post. So we can do that, acting CEO. Can we, in our next meeting or even after this meeting, just send them a profile of our employees in relation to the qualifications they have, if it's matched with the correct skill, so that the portfolio committee can see the work that we are trying to do. We are honestly trying to ensure that we revive Brand SA. The other issue which we need to do is that I'm taking it as a comment and a recommendation from you that we must take it to the board. The chairperson of the board, Ms. Tulisile, Ms. Tandi Tobias, is here on the board in the meeting. She's hearing that. Let us advertise that post. So what happened with the previous CEO is that his contract in relation to, his contract in relation to what he got when he was employed in the post automatically came to an end. See, we are providing the political oversight. Mr. Tobias can guide us. Maybe it will be very dangerous to just commit in relation to, we might just legally want to find out what are we supposed to do with those allegations which he had. I don't think I'm in a position to can commit to say we will do this to him and so on. But ideally, his post has come to an end. And honestly speaking, there is nothing which is stopping us from advertising the post of the acting CEO. There is also a post of Miss Tulisile Manzini, the marketing manager. Is that the marketing manager?
Chief marketing officer.
Yes, even that one, we also need to advertise it. So those are the two which we need to do. I'm not sure. I don't want to put you under a spotlight, chairperson of the board, but you need to provide the political direction. I think they are saying to us, fill the vacant post. On our side, we will push. I'll talk with Mr. Kumbuzo, like I said, to fill that post of the two board members. On your side, maybe let's start with the process of filling the vacant post, those ones which are very, very critical. Also, let's give the portfolio committee what they are requesting for, to show them that the people who are currently employed, you match the skill with the capacity is there. So there's nothing which we want to hide. I'm going to request to CEO and the chairperson take and let's answer other questions of the portfolio committee. Thanks.
Thank you.
Chair, I hope you can hear me.
I can hear you.
Yes, Chair, there is a plethora of questions that has been asked from ourselves. Let me start with the critical one, and I'm going to give the team to respond to that. Let's start with the most controversial ones. Let's speak to the issues of the vacancies. We've got three vacancies, that of a CEO, a chief marketing officer, and the chief financial officer. This is a matter that the board has on a regular basis raised concerns about the filling of these vacancies, because these are critical posts for us to be able to implement our program. So we wrote to the minister, may his soul rest in peace, to request authorization to fill these vacancies. A moratorium not to fill these vacancies came from the minister. We received a letter that due to the measure, we should not fill these vacancies. So we were about to advertise those posts, so we had to wait. We had to report back to the board, and then the board mandated us to meet the minister. So as we were going for holidays, we were expecting to meet the minister even during the holidays. But when the minister traveled back from abroad, unfortunately came sick, therefore we could not have a discussion. Because part of the strategies we wanted to raise with him was, is there a possibility that we can find a way of having temporary contracts on this issue? so that at least there is some form of employment that is taking place in the institution. And unfortunately, given his condition, we could not meet. I'm happy that the Deputy Minister is saying that she's going to pursue the implementation there. So we've already requested a meeting with the new acting minister just to address this matter. We are awaiting a response. Secondly, on the issue of the strategy, the marketing strategy, if you were listening to the CEO, she made it very clear that the indices that we get from external sources makes us have internal analysis within the institution. So that has been delayed on the basis of that. So in terms of the impact, and this speaks to the impact of COVID-19 on us, that once we receive that, we'll be able to respond to the indices and make that analysis on the impact. The second one is the former CEO. Mr. Malachi, there was no initiated disciplinary processes that were preferred on the CEO except what an independent body presented to us. So as we were engaging with that information, his term of office came to an end. Therefore, you cannot, for now, say there was a charge sheet preferred on him because recommendations that were there were not yet finalized as we engaged the shareholder, which is the minister. So we agreed in principle that his term of office has come to an end. We had had an acting CEO, therefore we're proceeding as it stands. In relation to, because I would want the CEO to respond to all other issues that relate to local activations and so on, but let me speak to the marketing strategy. This is not just a marketing strategy of the company. We are representing a brand, South Africa, as the country incorporated. Therefore, your strategies in terms of how you lure investment, it's something that we can present to you in a meeting, in a closed meeting, and say, this is our approach. Because anybody will want to have that approach to weaken your country. So that it can be presented. We can note that and make a presentation. Chair, the rationalization process is a pain to us because we will not want to have vacancies in the institution. But we take directive from cabinet resolutions. Once the cabinet has given us the way forward, we will fill this vacancy as early as yesterday. And in relation to all other matters, can the CEO respond where there has not been, and the team, where there has not been responses? I'll respond. Okay, on the issues of the board members, we have submitted, and as we're not the ones who appoint, but it's the president, we are awaiting the response from the president in relation to the appointment of those two board members that must continue. The other board member, which was the deputy chair, took a new post. I think it's in CASA, if I'm not mistaken. And the second board member, his term of office came to an end because he was appointed earlier than all of us in the board. In relation to the skills breakdown, actually, Brand South Africa is the most qualified institution that I've ever came across. I think we've got about four doctors with PhDs. And because it's such a small institution, the majority of them are highly skilled. The breakdown, I think, will come in the next meeting that will be presented. So, CEO, can you take all other questions? And then I will check if we have left others behind and we'll be able to respond to them. I thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Deputy Minister, and also a chairperson of the board for the questions. With me, I have the EXCO members, and they will come in questions that are specific to their environments, but I will try to cover the ground as much as possible, also in the interest of time. The Deputy Minister and the chair covered the issue of the vacancies, and I'm not going to go into that. But there was a question about what is the plan to have people with disability in Brand South Africa. And I want to assure the committee that every time we advertise positions in Brand South Africa, we also advertise in the platform for DPSA. DPSA is Disability People of South Africa. And we are fortunate that the chairperson of the Disability People of South Africa is one of the board members. He's part of the Human Resource Committee. So he also is keeping us on our toes to make sure that we advertise in all those platforms. And previously we had only one person, and that person sadly left the organization, but subsequently passed on. So we are looking into that, and we are prioritizing it, and it's something that we are looking at. Hence, we are advertising in all those spaces. And there was also a question on what is it that we do to change the perceptions about the COVID-19 pandemic, the normal citizens. We had a number of initiatives that we had ran to promote the people's perception. One, we ran proactive communication campaign to promote COVID-19 awareness on community radio, for example. And also we report on COVID-19 intervention on a quarterly basis, and we can share those reports. We also collaborated with several stakeholders to assist disadvantaged communities, distribution of mass sanitizers in Alex and Deep Fluid, for example. That's just a few examples. And also we partnered with the SA Taxi to distribute sanitizers to several taxi ranks. That is what we're doing. But how can ordinary citizens approach Brand South Africa? Through our website, it's easy. They can approach us to say, this is something that they have and they would like to collaborate with us. But two, we also in the lookout because we are in this particular space. Like, for instance, if tonight I'm sitting and I'm watching television and I see something, they say in the Eastern Cape, this boy or this girl or this person, this is the community doing this. Those are some of the things that we then are able to follow up to if we see that there is an impact in whatever people are doing. But anybody can approach us. Like I have said previously, we have ambassadors all over the Play Your Part ambassadors across the provinces. And those ambassadors that we have are assisting us in making sure that we are able to reach people. But people approach us every day. They approach the chairperson of the board. They approach board members to want to collaborate with us. And we look at what is it that they are bringing to the table. And based on that, we are then able to decide if it's something worth pursuing or how can we help them. So we are approached by anybody, and there are ways and means of approaching us that it is there on our website. On the targets, that there are targets that we met and targets that we couldn't meet. Like I said, that it is true. We are not hiding behind COVID-19. But when COVID-19 happened, because here we're talking Q1 and Q2, just when the pandemic was hectic. So we had to move. And I had said when I started that we are able to move. That is why we are able to move and exceed as we move forward. If you look at Q1, very few things that were exceeded. But when we move to Q2, we meet and exceed. But in Q3, you are able to see the stability because we have also now adjusted in what we need to do. We sat down, we went back to the drawing board to say, instead of doing this the way you wanted to do and going to school A and school B, because there is planning. You plan now, there is a start and an end date. You plan to go to school A, but you can't go to school A or school B because of the pandemic. So then you plan that in Q2, instead of me going to the school, I'm going to do this activation virtually. That is why there is progress. We are not hiding behind the pandemic, but we are trying very hard that in spite of all this, we should be able to deliver as expected. That is why we managed to exceed on other targets. And the issue of employees leaving the organization, what is it that you are doing? When employees leave the organization, what we do, we have what you call a retention strategy. The retention strategy that we have in place, it is exactly for that. We are able, there are those that wanted to leave but couldn't leave because of all the perks and conditions of service that we have that are lucrative depending on whatever that the people are needed for. And I must state upfront that people are not just leaving for greener pastures. but maybe they are living for greener, stable environment, for stable environment. Because of the merger that I spoke about, the issue of the merger that is pending. So people are not too sure. And you find that in Brand South Africa, you have highly skilled people. And when I submit that particular list, the honorable members will see. Because these people, when they are sitting there and in every meeting, they are saying, what is happening? Please give us feedback regarding the merger, because the merger is there, but you are not telling us. So when they are approached, if a person who is highly skilled in research is then approached by somebody else out there, and that particular person can come back to me to say, what is the merger? Give me the timeline. And I'm unable to say what are the timelines, because it's a process that is not run by Brand South Africa, but it is run at a different level. Then people decide to say, actually, let me go have stability somewhere else. That is why people will leave, not because it is not. Actually, if you look at the people, we have been able to keep people. There are less people leaving than, less people, but people are willing to stay. But it is just that issue of the merger. And then why the 12% vacancy rate? And I heard that it is unacceptable, and I fully agree, because it's supposed to be 10% and lower. The reason for that, it is exactly the reasons we alluded to. We got a letter of something that we call a meritorium on filling of the vacant position. As soon as you get that, you then comply. But at that time, we got that letter that you must not fill the position. The letter, we are not able to then move, because we can't go against a directive. And that directive was not necessarily not unfounded, but it's a directive based on the issue of the merger. But secondly, the letter went further, and the letter stated that we must fill the position. If we fill them, we must fill them in a period of 12 months, which means it's 1 year. So for the positions that we are talking about here, it's CEO position, it's CMO, is a CFO, which is your high-level position in the organization, attracting people for a period of 1 year. This is something that we are still grappling with, that we will be doing and moving forward and come and respond, but whether we will be able to attract people at that level for a period of 1 year. But why the 1 year? And I think the 1 year, the reasoning was because of the merger. Instead of having a CEO and say 5 years, this one 5 years, this one is permanent. And then when we merger, we find that we have got three CMOs across the board, and it becomes difficult to merge and things. So that was the reason. Otherwise, I was going to report a vacancy rate that is far low, because we had, I can prove the advert, I can prove the shortlistings in other instances and how we have progressed. The critical positions, I have already mentioned them, and also the budget for the PPEs, the CFO is going to deal with that, and the fruitless and the wasteful expenditure. And the issue of the PYP, what is the yardstick? How do we choose the province over the next? Our annual target is to reach all 9 provinces. So we do not plan to reach all provinces at once. These are developed in consultation with our partners in the provinces. So what we do is that we have this plan, and we say, these are the provinces. And that's why when we move, we are able to then say we have covered this particular province and we have covered this particular province. But our target, our annual target, is that at the end of the day, when I report annually, we would have reached all 9 provinces. The other issues...
Can you round up, Ms. Manzini? Because of time, Stats SA has to present as well, and it's 22 minutes past 12 now, and this meeting was intended to end at 1 o'clock.
Okay. Thank you so much, Chairperson. It's just that it was lots and lots of questions, but I will ask Dr. Judy and CFO to really quickly, under a minute, just to cover the areas I did not cover. Thank you, Chairperson. Dr. Judy, then the CFO.
Okay, thank you, Acting CEO. Good afternoon, honourable members. As the Acting CEO mentioned, there are quite a number of questions, and I have taken them all down. But just to cover those areas, perhaps that were not touched on already. So, on the impact of the COVID-19 corruption scandals and that impact that it's had on perceptions of South Africa as a nation brand, it obviously goes without saying that it has had an impact, and we as Brand South Africa see it as our task. Of course, we use our domestic perceptions research to monitor that impact. So our monthly surveys, for example, focus on specific elements, such as the public response to the COVID-19 pandemic. And we also look at sort of confidence in a range of government measures. We look at confidence in the NCCC. We look at sort of how those decline, how they recover, and we also consider why they recover. We also monitor media coverage on these insights, and we share them with relevant stakeholders as and where we perceive it to be necessary. So for example, we look at tonality of negative reporting in each quarter. And we also then look at sort of what are the issues that that affect that, whether it be crime or corruption-related news, health of the nation due to COVID. And then we also take these insights to develop our engagements with stakeholders. So that's be it our stakeholder activities or be it our communication initiatives. So for example, we also partner with the Nelson Mandela Foundation on an anti-corruption campaign. That's just but one example. So we feed all of these insights into our entire organization. And just to perhaps as an overall to say, you know, we have repurposed our campaigns both domestically and internationally to incorporate COVID-19 messaging, and we always make it a point to reach out to all levels of society. So be it through community radio or be it through international engagements. So whether we use a Reuters platform to engage with stakeholders or whether we use a community radio station, we then engage with the population on issues that are relevant for them in the environment. I think the CEO has covered most of the other clear things. And as mentioned, we can certainly package a response, or we can share our COVID-19 initiatives that we've done in each quarter, those that relate to that, and that answer many of the questions that were actually posed here. But just to also highlight, just to underline what the CEO has said, you know, in our
why it seems as though there's a disconnect. You have taken more than a minute now. Let me now make a ruling now. You will respond to the other questions in writing to members of the committee, and the CFO must do the same, so that we get the presentation from Stats SA. Respond in writing to the questions that you have not answered yet. Thank you very much. Can the Stats SA come in?
Thank you very much, Chairperson, and indeed thanks to honorable members. We are going to present our report for quarter one and quarter two, and Celia will be uploading it from her side while I will be talking from this side. One of the things that we need to say, Chairperson, is that we do take note of some of the questions that were raised with the colleagues at DPME and indeed at Brand SA, which may not be specifically outlined in the presentation, but which would apply to any department. What are we going to talk about, Chair? We are talking about organizational performance. We will talk about the financial performance, human resource performance, and indeed what we have achieved in quarter one and quarter two, and we'll then talk about strategic risks. But let us start with strategic priorities. The strategic priorities are driving legislative reform, sustaining the quality of national indicators, modernizing the statistical value chain, leading a transformation and change agenda, and indeed rolling out the integrated indicator framework and conduct census 2021 pilot. What has happened in terms of performance? As regards performance, Chairperson, in quarter one, we achieved 64% of our targets. That is 43 out of 65. And indeed, we had 22 targets delayed, which constituted 34%, my apologies. And in quarter two, we achieved 94% of our targets. That is 64 out of 68, and indeed 4 out of 68 were delayed. But this target built up, Chairperson, to an annual target in terms of moving, where we are sitting at 38% in terms of annual performance and on track 58%, and delayed 4%, and this is in the year we are talking about 342 targets. Now, going further, Chairperson, we want to look at the vacancy rate. The vacancy rate still remains high, having been sitting at 16.4% as well as 16.8% respectively in quarter one and quarter two. Women in SMS have been remaining at about 40% all along. What we have been seeing when they increase the bid to 40.5 was a question of people resigning that new appointments, but I will deal with issues of appointments. Persons with a disability working for state to say we've been sitting at 1.4 for a very long time owing to a historic issue that we couldn't hire anybody as is in SMS. The number of staff members that have left status, we usually lose about 24, 25 staff members per quarter. And in these two quarters, Chairperson, we have lost 18 and 16 respectively. And our expenditure has been sitting in quarter one at 15% and 34% in quarter two. And invoices paid within 30 days, 98% and 99% respectively. What is our budget in terms of adjusted budget allocations for 2020-2021? Our budget is sitting at 3.252 billion, and of course, of which capital assets account for 9.7% at 14 million, apologies. And compensation of employees sitting at 1.6 billion, accounting for about 50%, and indeed 40.8 sitting in goods and services, and transfers and sundries sitting at the and subsidiaries subsidies. My apologies, sitting at about 500 million. Let us look at our programs, how they have been spending. And indeed, if we look at program one, program two, three, and four, and five are your biggest spenders, whereas programs six and seven are relatively low in spending. But on average, our spending is sitting for both quarters at 15% as well as 19% respectively. We would like to look at human resource information. And in terms of male-female in status, we have more women working for status than men. But when we go to SMS, then the numbers swap the other way around. We have more men in SMS. So the whole issue of patriarchy that we see in the society does show in status and in the way we have been hiring all this time, all these times, coming out of 1995. And this is a matter that we have committed ourselves to have to address now that we have an opportunity of filling positions, albeit not all positions, only those that are critical, but we will start addressing this matter because it is rather serious. Let us look further in terms of population groups. And I did listen to the question that was raised to Brand SA as regards the whole issue of Black, African, colored, and white in terms of percentages. But let me mention that we usually didn't bring this slide all along, Chairperson, but this committee did raise it, and we had to start bringing this this slide. One of the things that this committee also raised was that as and when we have large-scale projects like census, when we go into hiring large volumes of staff members, we must not only talk about the fact that there is an overrepresentation of whites at the top. We also need to talk about the representation of whites in amongst field workers, a matter that we have indicated previously that Indians and whites usually do not take field work jobs. They do, but very few, when we start training, they say the salaries are very low and they don't take them. But let us look at what is happening in terms of our SMS particularly. While in the nation, we are talking about generally 81% in terms of the, about 80% in South Africa in terms of Black Africans. In status, say at SMS, we are sitting at 67%, 6% colored at SMS versus 9% nationally. Why it's 18% at SMS versus 8% nationally. Indians, Asians, 9% at the SMS and 3% nationally. So these are some of the things that we have been directed to address in going forward by this committee, and as well as our late minister, Minister Mthembu, and may God rest his soul. Now, let us look at the vacancy rate per program. And when we look at vacancy rates per program, we are looking at in admin about 25.7%, but the highest sits in the SANS. And the SANS becomes very critical, Chair, where we are sitting at 31.3%. The SANS is an area or a program where we are looking at the system of national statistics. It's not only looking at status, say, those standards that we want to uphold, those quality issues we want to uphold, the crime statistics released by SAPS, for example, are assessed through this SANS in status, say. So it's critical for the survival of the system of national statistics, especially in a future where we will have many producers of statistics where status, say, cannot produce enough. But let us look at the staff terminations. And we are saying that as of 30 September 2020, we have seen a larger chunk of staff members sitting at 26.5% having retired. And of course, in terms of those that resigned and those who died, we are sitting at 23.5%. respectively for both categories, resignations and death. And that is followed by dismissal in terms of misconduct, which is sitting at 8.8%, which also sits at the same level as transfers to other departments. And of course, ill health is about 2.9%. Now, let us go further and look at age profile. In statistics, Chair, we would say that this is a normal distribution. It is actually very low at the lower age cohorts, and it rises steadily, and at about 40, 49, it peaks and drops all the way down. But one thing that it tells us is that in the 40 to 49 age cohort, we have a lot more, a bulk of our staff members. And one of the things that is happening is that most of our leadership in the organization are actually exiting the 40 to 49. They will soon hit a barrier of 49 going to 50 to 59, meaning that at some stage, we will have to deal with issues of replacement, because those of us who are leading the organization now entered at almost the same level more than two decades ago in the organization, as agencies of statistics tend to keep their staff members a lot more longer. Actually, the average age of Canadian and Australian statistics is about 32 years in one organization. Now, let us look at the issues of key achievements. We published 48 statistical releases, Chair, that looked at, and we are looking at them in terms of our statistical, our strategic emphasis. Insightful data. We published 48 statistical releases, and 42 of those were released later than scheduled. Because what happened is when COVID hit us, by beginning of April, we were already on hard lockdown. So firstly is that the whole issue of migrating the entire organization of almost 3,000 staff members to have to work from home, and setting up those facilities at home. And in some of them, those who handle large volumes of data and high speed performance has taken us a bit of time. But we also released three new releases on business impact surveys in terms of COVID-19, as well as essential product on CPI. These were very critical, Chair, to make sure that during the hard lockdown, we are able to make the nation understand what we are facing as challenges. We also launched three online surveys on the impact of COVID-19 on society, in health, behavior, and perceptions, as well as in employment, income, and hunger, and also in education, mobility, migration, and time use. These surveys, Chair, were what we call convenience surveys, in that they were not based on our regular sampling techniques where we would up the occurrences or the percentage of those who responded in a particular way to a national estimate. We only released them on the basis of those who had responded. Now, in terms of further publishing, we had 84 statistical releases, of which 17 were published later than scheduled on quarter one. And of course, we did have new releases on social impact of COVID-19. And these I've already spoken about in terms of employment and the like. And we launched the Census of Commercial Agriculture Results in four provinces on electronic platform, as it is the norm of working on electronic platforms these days. We also released the Vulnerability Index, which we believe is not given, hasn't been given enough media coverage. And we will continue to launch it on media space so that the nation can use it. This Vulnerability Index, while it's useful now to the nation as here and now, it will become very critical in the future for researchers and those who want to comment on the issues of COVID-19. Let us look at agile and operating model. Census 2021, we are developing a multi-mode data collection for a pilot of a census as well as post-enumeration survey. Chairperson, it's very critical. In the olden days, we used to go with pen and paper, and then we'd go see the data processing center and scan all this data. And that's what we have done also in 2011. But where we are sitting since 2016 during the community survey, we have started deploying our facilities, electronic facilities, where our field workers go with gadgets and capture information. And that we call it, the paper-based one is called paper-assisted personal interviews, which is called PAPI. The ones where we use electronic gadgets like iPads and the like, smartphones, it's computer-assisted personal interviews. And that's the one of the facilities that we are, the platforms we are testing. We also have computer-assisted telephone interviews, CATI. We are also testing this one. We also have computer-assisted web interviews where people can get a link and interview themselves. We are checking all these facilities because we have a society that is ready to be interviewed or enumerated in whatever form, but we also have high levels of illiteracy, maybe not high, we still have levels of illiteracy in the country. But in terms of computer facilities, not everyone who can read and write is ready to use a computer. So we have to make sure that when we go into field, we capture everyone in the way we should be able to reach out to them. Let me mention that this will come in future reports. The pilot for the census has been delayed. It was supposed to kick off on the 11th of January, but the restrictions of COVID have put us in another state. So we will still come back and report on this one in future presentations and reporting. We continue with training and data collection for household surveys that were delayed in quarter one. But as we are looking at other platforms of dealing with this situation. I've already spoken about CATI computer assist telephone interviews that was deployed for the quarterly labor force survey. One of the things we have committed ourselves, Chairperson, is that we will not let the core statistics be affected by whatever. One, whether we have money or not. Two is COVID or no COVID. Basic statistics, we will do everything in our powers to protect that including when we have to look at our methodological assessments in relation to sampling implications that are affected by, one, COVID-19, and of course, the whole issue of collection, including in the CPI that related to the environment we found ourselves in COVID-19. And of course, the whole issue that affects imputations on the kind of methods that will respond to imputations in the end. Chairperson, still on the whole issue of an agile organization, we are developing, as I've indicated, multimodal data collections for the pilot. And indeed, we conducted Census 2021 trial project between August and September. And the QLFS quarter 2 data collection was conducted under CATI computer assisted telephone interviews due to the pandemic. And of course, we commenced with data collection for other household surveys using the same facilities of CATI. Interconnected statistical systems. The draft bill has been re-registered in May 2020 for parliament processes. And of course, it's still outstanding and it still has to go to cabinet. And let me mention particularly that the ministerial committee has already looked at the draft bill, but they have raised issues in relation to the POPIA Act, a point that I'll come to later. New emerging statistical partnerships as a result of COVID-19. We have a lot of work that we are doing with the FOSAT group that actually works through the net joints establishment and build up to the reports that go to the NCCC. And we are working with the CSIR we have established an observatory that assists a lot around COVID-19. And while we do this, Chair, and looking at different sets of data, we still are able to maintain our independence when it comes to our core business and where status say should not be compromised on matters of independence. We do distance ourselves and we have an understanding with the colleagues we are working with. A global and continental work, of course, the SADC DG's committee was conducted online. UN technical working groups continue to be conducted online. The African Union gatherings on methodological notes on QLFS sampling have continued. And of course, when we come to quarter two, indeed, I've already spoken about this draft amendment bill that is gone to the ministers, and discussions are now ongoing as regards the POPIA Act. And of course, going forward, we have signed a memorandum of understanding around COVID-19 with the Medical Research Council, and the observatory is ongoing and is bringing a lot more partners, as we have seen in the second quarter. And in terms of global work, we have had the 6th International Conference on Big Data, which was supposed to be hosted in Seoul, but was hosted online. And in this regard, South Africa, as represented by myself, is a co-chair of the Global Working Group on Big Data. And we did issue our statement online in relation to this and continued to engage. The other issues is that we made submissions to the Commission on Gender Equality on issues of developing capacity for gender-based violence statistics. Furthermore, on second quarter achievements, I still need to talk about the transformed capabilities in relation to the first quarter achievements. My apologies indeed. We have indeed dealt with the issues of CATI and CAWI, and I wouldn't want to spend more time on those. Investing on people, we are reskilling our staff and investing in the organizational capital. Indeed, this extensive reprioritization exercise undertaken in relation to operations, especially on resources and funding due to the impact of COVID-19. If there is one thing our management team does spend time on, Chair, is on reprioritization as regards the impact, because we do not know when this COVID-19 state will end in terms of the way it's behaving. We have accepted that we will live with COVID for quite some time. And as we do so, status remain in business in all eternity. And that's what we are doing to refine our work. It's like repairing an aeroplane when you are flying. And of course, there are issues that had to be dealt with. We have an OHS committee, Organizational Health and Safety Committee, that is very critical in guiding us, and it involves staff members and unions. And of course, we have had to deal with procurement accordingly in terms of PPE, PPEs that were required. Now, let me talk more on second quarter. But as I'm talking on second quarter, I must admit, we have aligned the one thing, these issues relate to what we have seen in quarter one, but we have aligned our transformation and change agenda to the new strategy. And we have revised our work program and accordingly tabled it in relation to the priorities that we are raising. Let us look at monitoring of the external environment. What we are seeing generally is that in terms of articles that are covered per month, we have a decline that is top right-hand side. In terms of audience reach, we seem to be improving a lot, as well as Twitter. We have seen a lot of growth between July and August, September. Facebook growth rose in August and started declining in September as people tend to like more of our tweets. Now, let us look at legislative reform particularly. I have already indicated, Chairperson, that this one is already saving at the level of ministers. In principle, ministers have already accepted it, but they are saying that we need to deal with the POPIA Act, which matter has then received attention from both State SA and the colleagues that are dealing with data regulation. There are just a few things we need to clarify with them, because we are saying we must focus only on the amendments, not on the entire Act, because the Act is already in operation. And this is not like we are introducing a new Act. We are just amending the Act. And indeed, this matter continues to receive attention. And we should be able to report once we're finished with cabinet processes. Strategic risks continue to be demand and supply, Chairperson, on statistics that outweigh our ability to supply. And this is happening a lot, even at levels of national and international arena. In this regard, we are saying that the GDP, CPI, and poverty information is at high risk, as we have not been able to conduct the IES, and we can say that it has somehow been discontinued, which has actually led us to breaking Siri, because Siri is not only an issue of data items that you make available, but the unavailability of a particular product can cause panic amongst the users. Furthermore, our business operating model continues to be looked at as it's impacted by COVID-19. But as I've indicated, COVID-19 defines the terms. It behaves in a particular way, and all we need to do is to respond accordingly as people on the planet. And that's what we are also doing in SSA. We have seen changes to our statistical value chain, and these changes, some of them have not been tested, especially when it comes to sample surveys. Because when you need to make sure that when you are introducing a new approach, you have a parallel survey from the old approach, so that you make sure from the data items and from the methods you don't break zero. We will see further budget cuts according to indications that we are getting from National Treasury, quite as substantive. And of course, this will have constraint on our staff members. Let me mention that National Treasury did give us a once-off previously of 75 million rands, which is not being repeated. And it means that some operations will be affected. And as regards the 46 million rands that they've given us, we are continuing to fill the vacancies. Actually, at lower than SMS, we have moved considerably. At SMS, directors and chief directors, we are continuing to finalize that process. And at DDG levels, obviously, those are ministerial engagements, and indeed, we did raise it as well with the acting minister when she came into office and met with us, as we had raised this matter previously with Minister Mthembu, the late Minister Mthembu, before he passed on. And this is a matter that he had said he needs us to prioritize it this year when we come back into office. And unfortunately, it was not to be. And of course, we continue to assess the impact of COVID-19 on our operations and deliverables. I must admit, the impact is rather quite serious. The fact that we can't deploy our field workers, for example, in CPI, our staff members have to go and collect information from the shops. And when the shops, the malls and shops were declared as high, was that risks of infections like funerals, it made it very difficult for them to be there in the shops. So it does have an impact on our work. Chairperson, the next slide seems to follow us everywhere, which says Ndihelakwal, and there's a historic context. In the interest of time, I wouldn't want to repeat or say the historic context, but what I can say is that this approach has been standard amongst all the migrant communities that were scattered all over the country and couldn't be together for challenges that we faced as a nation. And the numbers must tend to illuminate issues of the progress and lack of progress, where there is lack of progress in terms of our move as we democratize our nation. And the Elakwala in his course about, they say in the Pela Apo, Ngomkhulu Umbuliso, and in Sipedi Setswana ke fela hona mo, in isiZulu kedwa khona lapha. In English and Afrikaans, they say finish and plan. The next slide is blank, Chair.
Thank you, SG. In the interest of time, I will say honorable members must raise their questions, but the responses will be in writing to them. Is that in order?
Yes, Chair, it's in order. It's fine.
Okay.
We'll listen okay. And then we'll send it. Yes, thanks.
Okay. Can I see members who want to raise questions? Okay, Honorable Malati, Honorable Schreiber, Honorable Soma, Honorable Gondwe. In that order.
Chair, my jacket is failing me. Hello, look me. Honorable Komani.
Okay. Honorable Komani. Noted. Honorable Dooley, are you not going to speak this time? Okay, I see your hand is up now. Okay, thanks.
My bosses are back. They've talked.
Okay. Kubanga loku ndinothi Honorable Schreiber.
Thank you, Chair. Can you hear me? Hi, Chair. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
Okay, thank you. Thank you very much, Chair. Two quick questions from my side. The first one is on the vulnerability index that the SG mentioned. I'm wondering if we can get that distributed to our committee, because indeed it is something that I did not see in the media, which may be indicative of the problem, but it sounds like something useful. So could we get that distributed to the members of this committee? Chair, the other point is on the SG statement about the determination to continue protecting basic statistics despite the impact of the lockdown, the pandemic, and also the financial cuts that we've heard so much about. But yeah, I do think it is important for this committee to say the responsibility to protect basic statistics does not only rest with Statistics South Africa, it rests with all of us who have an interest in understanding the problems in our country. And the solutions to those problems. So, Chair, I think if the SG can just give us an update on the financial situation that we've heard so much about, How are things looking? Has there been a response in his, I know, ongoing pleas for funding? And Chair, I would repeat my request here that we need to get the National Treasury to come and sit in on one of our meetings alongside Statistics South Africa so that we can get everyone on the same page about the necessity to protect basic statistics and our statistics function in this country, even as we rein in spending where it is not appropriate. This is one function that we must protect in order to tackle the challenges that still abound. Thank you, Chair.
We have already, Dr. Schreiber, we have already arranged a meeting with the SSA and Treasurer.
That's great news. Thank you, Chair.
Yeah, the Secretary will communicate the date of that meeting to all members.
Thank you.
Can I, Honorable Ntuli is struggling. Can I give you an opportunity now? You are struggling to raise your hand, Ntuli, and then
thank you, Chairperson.
After you, it will be Honorable Malati.
Thank you, Chair. We welcome the presentation by SSA, and it is clear that indeed. There are a lot of disruptions in terms of the pandemic. Regarding the census, Status A conducts a one-on-one or direct contact with the communities. Now, I wanted to check, hence now, the diversion is on, should be on IT to check the showcasing of quality work so far. And understanding the delicacy of this work. And again, checking with SSA to say what we've observed with DPME and Brand SA in terms of gender perspective is quite recommendable. To say, are they going to follow suit? In terms of prioritizing women in this regard. Thank you, Chairperson.
Honorable Malati.
Thanks, Chairperson, and greetings to the Statistician General. I have three questions. One of them emanates from the statistics that they shared with regard to the status of their employees. And I mean, I find it obviously sad, but equally worrying that, you know, 23% of the staff members they have lost have been due to death. And I'm just curious to establish if COVID was a factor in this. I respect fully, obviously, the confidentiality of, you know, people's health and respect the affected families' non-disclosures of the cause of death. But I just want to establish at a holistic level whether SSA has, you know, encountered the loss of staff members due to COVID. But also, I mean, you know, the secondary point is the resignations. And we have belabored the point around the fact that most other entities, even global entities that are in the same field as SA, poach the talent that there is in the country. And that's equally a positive sign when local talent is poached elsewhere. But I just want to establish, I mean, you know, given the funding that was made available, particularly around compensation of employees, whether the entity is now at the stage where it's confident that we do have at least the basic requirements of personnel in order to conduct all the statistical research and all the studies that need to be done on an annual basis, so that the key work of producing evidence-based research that SSA is mandated with continues. And secondly, whether this year there will be parts of some reports or certain studies that will have to be shelved, either due to budget constraints or personnel constraints, because already there is a reference being made to those that were delayed. And I think last year, if memory serves me well, there were two key studies that had to be shelved or postponed as a result of both the personnel and financial situation in SSA. And lastly, I mean, you know, equally so, the figure around the retrenchment rate is the assessment now of the staff, you know, combining the statistics that have been shared with us in the presentation surrounding the death rate and, you know, the retrenchment rate. Are we having a much more youthful personnel composition so that, you know, this period again, I mean, you know, I'm not trying to insinuate that old age could be a factor, but I'm just trying to establish what is the profile of the average SSA employee, and what is the projection in terms of how long they stay in their organization as part of our talent retention strategy in making sure that there is stability in terms of the talent that we have, and also, you know, that we are able to compete with our peers in order to protect the talents that we have. Thanks very much, Chair.
Honorable Soma, load shedding has started in my place now. Honorable Soma.
Thank you very much, comrades and colleagues, and also let's welcome the presentation. And of course, we do ask questions for the sake of asking, because some of the frustration that the SSA has, they have been saying it in the last term, in the last financial year. So thank you very much for the opportunity, and also allow me to welcome the presentation by SG. Having said that, Chair, because we are doing oversight, we have to ask questions, but also we must be mindful that SSA, in terms of their budget constraints, the allocation of the fiscal to them, it has been an ongoing concern, if you like. That's one. But also, I'm happy with your response to say that we will be meeting with Treasury in the near future. And the near future, I hope it will be before the third quarter of the current financial year, Chair. It's an appeal, actually, from your good office. Having said that, Chair, I think also SG must probably, building on Honorable Malasse's question, is the aging of the workforce. At one stage, I know before the Treasury gave them additional funds to fill up some of the vacancies was because of the aging vacancies. But I'm worried if then what they've been given now, we are still in the process of filling those vacancies, as it were, because probably they need to have an engagement, because they follow government processes which are housed within DPSA, as it were, in terms of making sure that the regulations, they also respond to the needs. Probably they need to have a chat with DPSA to say how best can they shorten the process of filling those vacancies, without undermining any legal processes that need to be in terms of security clearance and the likes. Because if then, even the next year, incoming financial year, you would not have honestly exhausted what the Treasury has given you, how do you argue for more money if you haven't even spent the money that has been given to you? I'm saying there's something that DPSA must look at in terms of the processes of filling some of the vacancies as well, importantly, the critical posts.
The other one, Chair, that I would like to ask, which is will be my last question as it were. No, I think the issue of the filling of vacancies, I've covered them also with the Honourable Malazi. But also in terms of the delayed, I understand that and I appreciate and comprehend that SASSA deals with technical issues mostly. But also, without undermining or downplaying the budget cut, as it were, has they the entity addressed the challenge delayed of targets due to the skills constraints, as it were? Because they must also, at the same breath, that would like to have a roadmap in terms of filling of vacancies, but also they must give us a sense of comfort to say, before the end of the current financial year, they would have given us, they would have achieved those targets that were not achieved for whatever good reason. Let me also support to say that why I'm raising that, Chair, is because we reviewed their plans in 2019 because we're responding to COVID-19. But of course, 2021 should have incorporated also the limitations that COVID-19 brings in the workings and the normal workings of the institution, as it were. Yeah, thank you very much, Chair, for the opportunity, and thanks to SG to do the good work as we have been doing thus far. Thank you very much.
Chair? Chair?
I remember the chair has got load shedding. I think Ms. Foma can take over.
Okay, comrades, it's in the assistance because he did announce that. Probably let me see the opportunity, but so if he's around, he may chip in. Sir Kondo, you can come in because we're still dealing with the questions and the officials are still in the platform. Over to you, ma'am, on behalf of the chair.
Thank you very much, Honorable Ms. Foma. Let me also thank Re Maluleke for the presentation on behalf of SASSA, and also commend them for catching up in terms of their quarterly targets. Their expenditure in quarter two doubled from quarter one, and I take it is because during quarter one there was a lull in activities due to the pandemic, and then you were able to achieve 94% of your quarterly targets in quarter two, whereas in quarter one, it was only 64%. So let me commend you for catching up. I take it that the reason for the 64% targets in quarter one was due to the pandemic, and now you've eventually caught up. Under quarter one achievements, you indicate that you published 42 statistical releases later than scheduled. I just want to get a clear understanding of when had you expected to publish these releases and what caused the delay in the publication? Because then in quarter two, this number jumped to 84 statistical releases. And then around Census 21, I know that there's work being done around Census 2021. My question is, have you been able to develop a system that is aimed at improving access to deep rural communities? As this will enhance the reliability and credibility of statistics. So I just want to find out whether there's a system in place that will improve your access to, you know, to deep rural communities, because this will lend a lot of credibility and reliability to the statistics that you're going to publish under Census 2021 and going forward. Thank you very much, Honorable Zuma.
I don't see the chair. I'm not too sure whether it was Honorable Dooley was following you, Honorable Ember. If Maskola can just ask us in terms of the list of the names while we're still trying to get the chair. Masi, can you assist me on this one?
Honorable Lesoma, can you please just repeat that? I was still on the call with the person who's trying to go in.
Okay, I was saying meanwhile we are trying to get hold of the chair, can you assist me with the list of the names from honorable members who would like to engage on the presentation? Or Honorable Gondo was the last one.
Yes.
No, Honorable Soma Komani was following Honorable Gondo.
And who else? Because I can't just be like, can I be assisted, Masi? Please, so that we run our meeting smoothly.
But other than that, you'll text me or you'll just post it in the platform. Let me then take Honorable Okomane. Over to you, ma'am.
Thank you very much, Acting Chair. And let's commend the SSA for their hard work during these trying times, particularly knowing that they have got budget constraints in terms of their budget being reviewed so drastically. But nevertheless, they have outdone themselves. Equally, Chair, I would like to raise this concern consistently and firmly with the institution that it can't be correct that on the other side, the females are like on non-key positions, the females are more than males. And when it goes around, the males become more. So I just want to urge them to work more harder and to find a way for females to be put in key senior positions so that we, when we speak diversity, we know what we're speaking about. Chair, thank you very much. And let's also acknowledge that acknowledge that maybe the expenditure for quarter one was far lesser than that of quarter two. That was based on the performance that was raised by them. And Chair, lastly, let one ask this question to say, was there procurement of PPE? You know, this one we must ask consistently. Was there procurement of PPE during this COVID-19 in this institution? And if there was procurement of the PPE, how much was it budgeted for? And how much was spent on that? And if there were any irregular expenditure, how was it addressed? Thank you very much.
Thank you. I'm back now. I was kicked out.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Chair. Over to you. Thank you.
Okay. Was Honorable Okomane the last?
It seemed like, Chair, in terms of the board.
Okay. Honorable members, remember in the last meeting, I said members will be given an opportunity to give their tributes to the late Honorable Minister. Now we don't have time to do that. I suggest that each organization represented in the committee must make the tribute in writing so that we send those tributes to the department. Is that in order?
Honorable Chair, if I may, that is fairly in order, but also the SSA hasn't responded as yet. I don't know how do you intend to take it forward. Thank you.
Yeah, remember I said they are going to respond in writing as well to all questions raised.
No, I'm saying okay, Chair, from my side, I'm comfortable with that. Thank you. I don't know about other honorable members, but I'll suggest that let us be persuaded by what you have said earlier on. Thank you.
Okay.
Agreed, Chairperson.
Agreed. Okay. Everybody concur. Okay. Honorable members, thank you very much once again for availing yourselves for this meeting. The meeting went very well. With regards to the underfunding of StatsSA, we have arranged a meeting with StatsSA and Treasury for the 17th of March. That is a firm date for that meeting. So the portfolio committee will meet with the SSA and Treasury on the 17th of March to address the funding problem of SSA. With that said, thank you very much, honorable members. The meeting now stands adjourned.
Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. Thank you, Chairperson. Thank you.